It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's the most exciting sport on earth as far as I'm concerned.
Take a walk through the Nitro pits as we go one-on-one with the stars of drag racing.
Hi, I'm Courtney Forrest.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
This is Ron Capps, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
Featuring the NHRA's Alan Reinhardt.
Our events are truly an experience. They're not just a spectator event. They are an experience.
So get in, sit down, and hold on with host Joe Costello as he goes WFO.
Thanks, brother. Always love being on WFO, baby. Nobody brings it to you better than you, brother.
Now crank it up. It's time to go WFO. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. What's up, NHRA fans? Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. We've got a great show for you this week, and if you are a new listener listening on the Race Day Nation app, I'm talking to you. How cool is that, right? MRN, PRN, WFO, all together on one app. Yes, we're talking directly to you. Thank you very much for checking out our program. If you're an NHRA fan, you are absolutely going to love it. We have got a great show. On this show, we have got Drew Skillman. Yeah, that's right. If you listen to our archive shows, we were debating. Do we let him win and earn his way on, or do we just get to know this guy? I'm glad we did what we did. Drew Skillman going to be on the show just minutes from now. You're going to love this guy. You might even have a new favorite pro stock racer. Stick around. Also on the show, friend of the show, Danny Pomponio III, a.k.a. Poe, tunes for his family's top alcohol funny car team. They run our WFO radio stickers, and they're looking for three in a row at the Amalie Motor Oil Gator Nationals next weekend. So we're going to talk with Danny about tuning an alcohol funny car. Then we'll be headed to ZMAX for the Four Wide Nationals. And, of course, that is our next guest, General Manager Christian Bird, going to tell us about the new Surface, about the new date, about live TV, all kinds of information in that interview. So we got Christian Bird, Danny Pomponio, Drew Skillman. But wait, there's more. We've been doing a lot with Twitter on WFO Radio. Our audience has been competing against each other in the Twitter kumite, battling for followers, spreading the show, retweeting, that kind of stuff. But it has become known to me that many of our audience members don't really know how to maximize Twitter or use it. So Tina Stull from at Tina Stull Racing, she's only got 316,000 Twitter followers, is going to come on the show to help the WFO radio listeners figure it out. Like, what to do? What does this mean? What do you do in this situation? How does it work? Who do I follow? Who follows me? All that Twitter stuff. Very useful information we're putting together here for you folks. So check it out. And also on the show, she's going to try to become the third in a row that WFO Radio has pushed all the way to the final round in the annual Team Champion, Champion Spark Plugs contest, Carly Jo Ellingson. Last year it was Tina Stull. The year before it was the Mihalik brothers. This year, Carly Jo gets to know the WFO Radio audience, and we're going to hope you guys vote for her every day right through the end of the competition, and she goes on and is victorious and then has a great career and owes it all to the WFO Radio audience, or at least some of it, a portion. So we have got a great show for you. You are going to love it. We've got new sponsors on the show this week. Just all kinds of great stuff. Hopefully we can gobble up some of your time, and we start them all up the same way with this man, the voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhardt, joins us. Alan, welcome back.
Hi, are you calling about the truck I have for sale?
Yes, I was going to offer you about 80% less than you're asking.
Oh, okay, well, that probably won't do it, but I'll keep your number just in case.
What truck is this? You're selling something? That's not Reinhardt. He doesn't sell anything.
Well, I bought a new truck, so I got to sell my old truck.
No, you don't. See, that's the thing.
I figured you have Drew Skillman on the show. We're going to do the car salesman theme.
Let me tell you, I'm very impressed by this young man, and he is a car salesman. I never thought about that. We could get something going on the air here, like a little back and forth. What do you got? What are you selling? How much do you want? Maybe a WFO audience member wants a famous celebrity-type truck. What is it?
Yeah, this is a real famous celebrity-type truck. It's a 97 Ford, which is the last year before they did the Super Duty. Heavy-duty 3/4-ton power-stroke diesel super cab long bed with a towing package and 5-speed tilt wheel power windows.
Miles?
It's a nice truck.
Miles?
But, would pull or haul about anything you want, but I bought a new Dodge, so I don't need two of them.
You're a Dodge guy now, huh? Mopar or no car?
I wouldn't quite go that far. I'm certainly not trading in the 67 Mustang, but no, this truck kind of fell in my lap, and it was too good a deal to pass up, so I grabbed it and selling the old one.
All right, folks, if you want Reinhardt's truck, contact me, joe@wforadio.com. Of course, I'll get some skin in the game somewhere, but we'll hook you up. You don't think that there's some WFO Radio listener that would love to drive Alan Reinhardt's truck?
If somebody needs a good workhorse, that would be this one. It's not like a fancy snazzy, but it'll pull and haul and do whatever you want to do. And sorry, I wasn't trying to turn this into my own personal used car ad.
No, it's all right, because we got a call from Roger. He's on a mobile, and he has got a 1984 Ford Topaz he wants to sell.
Well, there you go. Maybe you could turn that into that'll be the new weekly segment on WFO Radio is car WFO rides for rent or rides for sale or something. I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a Twitter segment. Might as well have a used car segment. I'm impressed that I came up with the Topaz, which was actually a Mercury. I said Ford.
That's okay. Nobody's gonna beat you up too bad for that, except the two guys that still own a Mercury Topaz, so you're in pretty good shape there.
What? That's the golden era of the Blue Oval, right? The Topaz?
You know, it's interesting. I actually, talking about older cars and different stuff, yesterday while I was out running around, sitting at a stoplight, I pulled up behind a Datsun truck. And I thought, when's the last time you saw one of those on the road? I mean, literally, a Datsun. When did they scrap that nameplate? About 1980-ish?
A long time ago.
Yeah, and I just was really thinking, wow, it's been a long time since I've seen a Datsun nameplate. But anyway, that's the beauty of Arizona. Things don't rust away out here. So
no, I'm not quite in the exact same boat here in sunny South Florida, but let's not talk too much about that, because those folks that are in the northern part of the country, they are not into the humor right now. They are not enjoying this humor about us being warm and them being cold.
They've got airplanes leaving every hour. They could go someplace warm.
Yeah, it's lasted too long for them. I'm hiding from the humor for the next couple weeks until it warms up. Incidentally, the East Coast opener, the Amalie Motor Oil Gator Nationals, are in a couple of weeks, and it's always well attended, but I would imagine that, followed by Z-Max, are going to be extra well attended for exactly that reason, people who just want to get out of it.
I got to believe you're right. That's always been a big draw for folks coming to Gainesville, is it gives them a chance to escape the cold, and it kind of officially kicks off spring, and Florida is not a bad place to do that. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, grab them, nhratix.com, and come on down and see us.
Isn't that the truth? And if you're going to go to 4Wide, click the banner ad on the front page of WFO Radio. Now, Alan, we last week had a great discussion, and we solicited some feedback from our WFO Radio listeners, and we did get some feedback. And I think most of it has been capsulized by two calls, which I want to play for you at some point. But in the week, have you had the opportunity to give any thought to our discussion about street outlaws and where it went? And did you receive any feedback that I might be unaware of?
Well, I talk to people here and there. And obviously after the incident out in L.A. last weekend, that's kind of revved up the discussion a little bit more. And again, the bottom line is street racing is dangerous, and I'm not an I told you so kind of guy, and I certainly wasn't last week when I said, look, this is dangerous, what's going to happen if something like this happens, hoping that I was predicting the future. It's a tragedy that a couple of people had to lose their lives watching a street race, but I think it really does kind of put the focus on the fact that this isn't just a nobody gets hurt fun pastime that can just be ignored. I think it's something that one of the other things that at the points race this past weekend, there was a NHRA track operator that was in attendance, and the discussion came up, and he basically said, in his area, there is a pocket, let's call it that, of guys that get together and race on the streets. And he went to one of their deals, midnight Saturday night, with a handful of flyers from the racetrack, and talked to some of the guys and went, look, I'd love to have you come out. It costs $10 to get in. Tell me what you want. If you want the scoreboards off, we can do that. If you want no track prep, we can do that. If you want instant green light starts so, nobody ever we can just tell me what you want. But come out here and do this in a controlled environment. You don't have to worry about getting tickets. You don't have to worry about getting your cars impounded. You'll come out and just do it. Just tell me what you want. Tell me what night. Tell me when. Tell me whatever you want. I'm willing to work with you. And he said that what he got feedback over and over and over again is, you're going to make us wear helmets, and you're going to make us wear long pants, and we don't want to do that. And I thought, you're kidding, right? For those two reasons, when a track operator comes up and says, you guys basically write the rules. You know, obviously there's going to be some basic safety stuff. If your car runs in the tens, you're going to have a roll bar in it, and you should anyway. But you're going to make us wear helmets, and you're going to make us wear long pants were the two reasons that we're not going to the racetrack. And I thought, that might be the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
Yeah, there's definitely a disconnect on some of these things. I've spent a good portion of this week, I know we're coming on Tuesday, but since our last show, that's the way my weeks work, from last week to this week's show. And we do have a great show, and I want to ask about the points meet as well. We're going to get into that. But since we did solicit this feedback and we got a couple of calls, I want to play it and see where the conversation goes. A lot of people reached out to me via email and even on Twitter that this is productive. It is a productive conversation from both sides of things. I have kind of gotten to a new place on it, but first I want to play the first call, which, in the interest of full disclosure, I have edited to the core of it. It was a bit longer. The guy went into his background, and he loves the show and guest requests and all that. But the first one coming out of Minnesota. You ready?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Joe, just listen to the program. Fat Cat from Minnesota. The discussion with Reinhardt about the outlaw street deal. The first word that comes to mind is clueless. Guys, the appeal is the outlaw portion of it. Why do girls love bad boys? You know, they're drawn to them. Well, there's a huge segment, undeniable, that are drawn to this type of thing. Yeah, it's phony in a lot of ways. I mean, they're on airstrips, and here they got light plants set up. I mean, they've absolutely got some kind of dispensation from somebody to go out and put stuff together. So, yeah, it's a lot of it's staged, and, yeah, most people with half a brain go into it understanding that. But it is still unique. And for those guys to make those cars of that caliber to hook on the street is amazing. And I appreciate it, and, I mean, I kind of worry about them, too, you know. And the personalities are good, and that dude, Chief, I mean, he's a natural. He comes across good on TV, and they've got a hit show. Everyone I talk to friends all across the country, all different ages, you know, some of them as old as me and some of them younger. Everybody watches it. And they're going to keep watching it. The best thing NHRA could have done is just stay the hell out of it. You know, yeah, okay, so Marola was on there with an NHRA sticker. Big whoop. I don't think anybody really cared about it or, you know, yeah, I understand about trying to suppress street racing and not comparing it to drag racing. Wonderful. I mean, and for somebody like Reinhardt or yourself to say that you haven't drag raced on the street, you know, incredulity, guys. We've all done that. Garlitz did it. You know what I mean? Everybody's done it. Muldowney made her bones street racing forever. So, you know, NHRA, get over it. I mean, they're not in competition with you. They're not taking anything away from your fan base. They're not doing anything. Yeah, they may give a little bad publicity, and the lines become blurred between street racing and drag racing, but I guess you're going to have to live with it, ain't you? Your numbers are up, so maybe you got something going on. All right, I'm done.
Says Fat Cat from Minnesota.
Well, to start with, I never, ever, ever said or insinuated that I have never street raced. In my younger days, that was an activity that took place out here. At one point, we had no drag strip in southern Arizona. When the drag strip opened back up, most of us went to the drag strip and stopped street racing. But to say that, you know, well, it's okay because everybody's done it, you know, I used to smoke, too. And I would never now encourage somebody to smoke just because I used to do it. You know, I think you make sometimes poor decisions when you're younger. When you get older, you get wiser and try to share that wisdom with people. And if they're racing on airstrips on street outlaws, I got no problem with that whatsoever. None. Absolutely not. Go race on an airstrip. I'm good with that. That's a controlled, closed environment. But when you portray it as doing it on public streets, that's what I have a problem with. I really wonder if they go out, and okay, I get it. They got it, you know, the streets are closed off. It's all fake. It's not really, you know, and somebody's not going to pull out in front of you. I get it. Now, Joe, when you and I go to Oklahoma and go, hey, this is 3rd Avenue. This is where we're supposed to race. And then somebody gets killed. You don't think a lawyer's going to go in and go, hey, I saw on TV that this is the place you're supposed to race in Oklahoma. I mean, seriously? Is that what you want to promote? And as far as the, you know, girls love bad boys in the outlaw image, would the cars be any less impressive if they were in a controlled environment? And that's the only issue I have, is race them in a controlled environment. As far as NHRA, they're not saying street outlaws you have to stop. They're saying NHRA members should not be promoting illegal street racing, and that's what that show does. And so if you're going to promote illegal street racing, then don't be an NHRA member. And they don't want their members doing it. And I'm, you know, I don't know how anybody can have a problem with that.
Yeah, it has definitely touched a nerve. I got a lot of feedback. My thoughts have evolved quite a bit in a very interesting way. I'm going to expand on it at length at the tail end of the show, but let's get out this other call. You know, the whole chicks dig the bad boy thing. It definitely worked for George Costanza. Remember when he got that jacket in the GTO, man? The chicks were all over him. But here's the second of the two calls that we got feedback-wise. One moment, please.
Hi, my name is Jason, and I'm calling from North Carolina. And I listened to your comments with Alan about the street outlaws. And towards the end of the show, when you were talking about you don't understand why it is as popular as it is, my take on it is two things. One, the fact that it's illegal, just we in society in general are attracted to outlaws, hence all the mafia movies and cowboy movies and stuff. That's just society. We're all attracted to things that we shouldn't be doing. Goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And the other thing for why they're so popular is, to me, just the variety of the personalities and the personalities of the cars themselves. And you'll have a Sonoma pickup truck with a nitrous big block going up against a Pontiac Le Mans with twin turbos. And not to mention the actual people themselves are basically just characters. And I think that is, unfortunately, one thing that the NHRA has lost with a lot of the rich kids sponsor popping on the all over the TV. You know, I think that is unfortunate now that's a rut that the NHRA is kind of stuck in. You don't have the personalities like Warren Johnson or Bob Litton or, you know, Gary Selzy, people like that. You don't have those things on NHRA TV anymore. So those are my thoughts, and WFO.
That coming from a couple of WFO listeners. Obviously, if they're listening to the show, you know, they like NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. That's the first thing we need to understand. What about that, Alan, the characters?
I agree with a lot of what he said. The problem I have is the venue. Would they be less characters if they went to Thunder Valley Dragway in Oklahoma and did their racing there? You know, you can turn the scoreboards off. You can turn the clocks off. But you're not promoting, hey, this is where you go out on the street and show off how fast your car is. You're promoting, hey, this is where you can go to the track. And I guarantee you, Joe, you and I could go to Thunder Valley on a Wednesday night or Friday night, I'm not sure exactly what their schedule is, and tell them, I want to race him, and I want the scoreboards off. And they'd go, no problem. And we could do that. So why do you have to promote that it's taking place on the street? I'm all about the personalities. And I completely agree that NHRA, you know, could use some wilder characters. You know, the Whit Bazemore types, the Gary Selzy types, the, you know, just say what's on your mind thing. You know, I do wish we had more of that. I think that that's something that we need to work on. You know, Jim Gennard even said the same thing a couple years ago when he got together and addressed them and said, you know, why? What's with the love fest? I mean, if you came to kick my butt, what's wrong with getting out of the car and saying I came to kick your butt? You know, the sponsor stuff and the corporate stuff has certainly taken its toll. I'm all about the personalities. I'm all about the machines. I love heads up grudge racing stuff on a Friday night someplace where the cars are just outlandish and crazy. But do it where it should be done. Don't portray it as we're out here on the street breaking the laws and doing the stuff. Can you imagine if I put together a show about, you know, drunk driving? Hey, this is my reality show. I'm going to go to the bar. I'm going to get plowed. And then I'm going to see if I can get home without getting arrested.
What time is it on? What channel? What network?
It's dangerous. I could kill somebody. Now, you know, I've got a police escort and, you know, nobody's so... It's not really going to happen. I'm just portraying this as, look at me, the outlaw. I mean, that's... Would that be acceptable? And that's what I question is, why is this acceptable? It's portraying an illegal, dangerous, ridiculous, stupid activity that can kill people. And it's acceptable. I don't get it.
To those that emailed in and called in your feedback, I greatly appreciate it because it definitely evolves the conversation, a conversation that needs to have happen and continue. And we appreciate it. And I do tend to agree with many of the things that were said at the tail end of the show. I plan on going more in depth. But since we've got Reinhardt here, obviously I want to talk about the points meet and some other drag racing things. But in general, just to give you an idea, Alan, of what I'm thinking about is a lot of the things that what makes the show successful is really what I'm thinking about. Whether they're doing the right thing or the wrong thing, I'm not really thinking about that as much as I'm thinking about 2.5 million viewers, maybe 3 million viewers, and ratings records. They're doing things that are not that different than what the NHRA is doing. And so success leaves tracks. What are they doing that we can replicate? Yeah, maybe they are using the playbook of the 1970s drag races. It's not snake versus the mongoose. It's farm truck versus the crow. Okay, but they're using the same playbook, a playbook that the NHRA created years ago, and like both of these callers just referenced, have gotten away from because of whatever you want to call it, professionalism or corporate sponsorship or however you want to say it. But the fact of the matter is that the people who like cars and like racing are voting, and they're saying they want their drivers to be characters. They want to know their personalities. They want them to say things that are a little bit abrasive, and they will choose the more interesting characters over the less interesting characters. If that's the case, then when, and I will go in depth at the end, when will the NHRA drivers say to themselves, 16 in each class, say to themselves, you know what? I'm going to cut loose. I'm going to do what the audience wants me to do. I'm going to give them what they want. I'm going to be me, and when I lose, I'm going to get pissed, and I'm going to show it. And when someone hangs me out on the starting line, I'm not going to go out and whisper in their ear, don't ever do that again, which they do on the top end all the time. I'm going to be myself. When will the drivers in the NHRA say to themselves, I have to do something to make me more interesting to the people that are watching, and then maybe the people who watch this fake show will watch them?
That'll happen when the sponsors allow them to do it.
Well,
and that's the bottom line. If you go out there and you go off, and then especially now with social media, within an hour, there'll be tweets and this and that and everything else about how, you know what, I'm never going to listen to WFO again because I just saw Joe and he's a jerk and, it, you know, that's it, I'm done with that company. At which point the company comes to you and goes, Joe, what are you doing? You can't do this. You're alienating our customers. You can't, you know, you need to now go apologize. You need to make up. You need to, you know, hey, beg for forgiveness because
right.
We can't give up those customers. And that's where it comes from. And, you know, at that point, if your sponsor says, you're not my guy anymore, you're out of a job. And, you know, the outlaws certainly have the freedom to do that because they don't necessarily have to answer to anybody. And, again, I have no problem with anything that they do other than the environment that they do it in. And I really wonder, why would you not? I mean, you look at how popular Pinx was. You know, I know when Pinx was here, guys would be camped out like 3 days in advance in line to make sure that they could get a spot. and you don't even know if you're going to be on the show or not. You know, you're going to go up there, you're going to make a couple of runs, and then whether you're one of the 16 or 32 or whatever it was. But guys wanted so much to be a part of that, and it was a huge audience as far as people coming to the racetrack, people coming to watch the taping, people coming to watch the show. I couldn't tell you what their television ratings were, but from everything I heard, they were very strong. And it was done in a controlled environment. And that's, I wonder why the Outlaws wouldn't do that. Is it just because, you know, we have to pretend we're on the street? If they said, next time they're going to do the showdown with, where was it? Chicago, right? They didn't, wouldn't,
well, they, that's kind of, incidentally, one of the other elements of it is, you know, rivalries. They're Oklahoma versus Texas or Chicago or the Southeast. You know, they're branching out and racing against these other groups, and it's almost like this North versus South, East versus West kind of group rivalry that makes people from that region feel connected to it. So, yes, that is part of it.
Okay, so hypothetically speaking, if they're going to do a, okay, Oklahoma versus Chicago, and they just told everybody 3 weeks out, hey, you know, March 15th, whatever the date is, March 15th, we are going to be at Route 66 Raceway, and it's going to be us against them, and if you guys want to come out and watch and see what this is like live and in person, tickets are $10 a piece, they would pack the place. Why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah. I know, I understand, and, you know, the detail, they're making a TV show, and they're reaching 3 million people with their TV show. If you have a live event, at best, you know, even if you're NASCAR, you reach 100,000 people live. So there are challenges.
Then you tape the thing and put it on TV next week. I mean...
And perhaps, I don't know if you're aware of this, because as of last week, you hadn't seen the show, and I don't know if you watched or were able to.
No.
But from in my research, because people need to know, obviously, I love NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, and I want this product to grow as much as it possibly can. I'm doing this show. We're getting together now for 10 years doing this show because of that reason. I want success for everybody. So I have done a fair amount of research, and it sounds like there is another show coming, Alan, that is what you are describing, at a venue, perhaps, a House of Grudge, where maybe the venue will stay the same, like a stadium, like a Thunderdome, like an arena where people go to settle their grudges, and maybe the show is going to come off the street at some point in the near future. That is what it's sounding like. I don't have that on any other like authority other than what I have read, but if that is the case, that would be an appropriate evolution. And judging by the interviews I've read with these guys, you know, they don't seem like bad people. They seem like people who, you know, this is what has happened and they're in it all of a sudden, and they're working to evolve out of it, I think would make everybody cool, which is what you're describing.
I would be 100% behind that. I would support it. I would watch it. I would be all about that. You know, as I said last week at the end of the show when we were talking about this, NHRA has never had a problem with their members competing in other sanctions. You know, on the West Coast, we have the PSCA, it's the Pacific Streetcar Association, but it's all raced in, you know, controlled venues. Some of them are NHRA sanctioned tracks, some of them are not. The NMRA is huge. There are a lot of racers that are NHRA members that compete in the NMRA. There are a lot of racers in the NHRA that compete in the IHRA. NHRA has never had a problem with that. What NHRA's problem is our members promoting illegal street racing, and that's something we're adamantly against. I mean, that's the issue. It's not that they're racing for somebody else. It's not that they're in competition with us. It's not that, you know, NHRA is trying to be heavy-handed. They don't want their members out there promoting an illegal activity that is absolutely 100% against what NHRA stands for, which is race in a safe environment. Don't race on the streets.
For the safety of those involved. And ultimately, at the end of it all, that's where, you know, it's hard to make the argument right now, but God forbid some sort of incident occurs on the show and someone is hurt. First and foremost, you can bet they're not going to air the episode. They're going to just can it and say, oh my gosh, something horrible happened during the filming of this TV show that we're not going to show anybody, which would be the ultimate in hypocrisy, and yet that's exactly what would happen. But part two, you know, there's phone light poles and ravines and curbs, and it's just a matter of time. Anybody who knows about high horsepower cars know that even when everything is right, you have problems. So it's just a matter of time. We're three seasons into this show, maybe four. Nobody wishes bad things on anyone. This is just an alarm that has been sounded, I think. Like, hey, you know, bad things happen on the street, even when it's the fake street. All right, Alan, let's move forward, though, because we have a points meet. Shane Westerfield and Joey Severance out there in their Lucas Oil top alcohol cars running 250 mile per hour plus and lighting scoreboards.
Yeah, it was a great event up in Phoenix. We ended up making it a two-day event. The forecast for Sunday was awful, and there was supposedly some weather that might be moving in as early as Saturday afternoon. So the call was made early in the weekend. On Friday, everybody gets two hits at the racetrack, whether it's qualifying or time runs, depending on your category, and then we raced it out on Saturday so we wouldn't end up getting caught by the weather. Turned out to be a terrific event. It was just a lot of great side-by-side runs, virtually no downtime whatsoever. You know, Ed Olpen went in Top Sportsman to go with last week when Ed Olpen won Top Sportsman. He's, you know, obviously off to a pretty nice start. The Alcohol Funny Car Final was 1/1000th of a second at the stripe. The Dragster Final was kind of anticlimactic as Chris Demke, the car broke a rod when they fired it up. So he wasn't even able to stage and make the run. But Joey Severance ran low ET of the event. And as I told Joey after it was over with, I said, the only thing I'm disappointed about is I didn't get to see that run. Because, you know, obviously Chris Demke and his guys weren't going to be shy in the final. And, you know, whoever wins, whoever loses, I don't root for favorites. I just like to see good runs. And I'm sorry that I didn't get to see that run. But all in all, it was a very clean, well-run, fun event. We got it done, and it's, you know, pack up and head to the next one.
Absolutely. The East Coast opener, the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals next weekend. I can't believe it now. We had talked about some oil down numbers. We're going to push that back to next week when we do questions for Reinhardt. 954-889-6796. Focus in on that as we get ready for Gainesville. Clearly one of the crown jewel events.
Yeah, it's, you know, first before that is the March meet coming up this weekend. If anybody's up in the Bakersfield, California area, if you're into nostalgia stuff, it's going to be some of the best nostalgia cars on the planet. I'll be up there Friday filming a track spotlight for ESPN2 that will air at a later date on the Sportsman shows. But, yeah, the March meet this coming weekend and then off to Gainesville, and I'm looking forward to it, looking forward to getting back to Big Show. 2 weeks just seems like too much time off after we had such great momentum from the first two races. You know, you'd kind of like to keep that ball rolling.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to kick it East Coast style, and it is going to be packed both at Gainesville and Z-Max as we got a couple of races in a couple weeks. But, yeah, the March meet, that's one that I've got to get to one of these days. One of these days, everybody says, got to hit Bakersfield, and I am going to do it at some point. Alan, great job as usual. Can't wait to hear from some of our guests, including Drew Skillman. Looking forward to that. I think everyone is going to love this kid. I appreciate you starting us off right. We've had a great conversation here. I know there's people on both sides of any debate, whatever it is. But to be able to work through it and put your thoughts on the table, regardless of what they are, is a good thing. That's why we do the show.
Hey, I'm all about the discussion. If everybody agreed, it would sure be a pretty boring world. But, you know, hopefully, if this new show that they're working on comes out and they do it, then I will be 100% behind them. Love the cars, love the personality. I'm all about performance. It's just the venue that I have an issue with. So, you know, we'll keep the discussion going, I guess, and see where it winds up.
Absolutely. Alan, great job as usual. Talk to you next week.
All right, Joe. Take care.
Thank you very much, Alan. The voice of the NHRA, Alan Reinhardt, with us here on WFO Radio. And thank you very much to the audience members who sent us the feedback, who listened to the show. Regardless of what you like or how you like it, we are up for talking about it. And at the tail end of the show, I'm going to go a little more in depth and rant a little bit about what I think. And this would be great for a blog post. Maybe I'll write a column on WFOradio.com illustrating these facts. But at the end of it, what's working? That's the question. What's working? And what are people interested in? Let's do that. And I think we can go somewhere. Like, what's going to move the ball forward? And I think that's where we need to be. I think everyone needs to be there. What is going to move the ball forward for everyone? You got a race team, you got a race car, you're a business, you're a sponsor. What's going to move the ball forward? Well, I know on this show we're going to move the ball forward because we've got a great show. Drew Skillman. Who knows Drew? What this guy's like out there making the final round of the first race of 2015, getting to the semis in the second race. Well, you're going to find out what I deem to be the single greatest interview with Drew Skillman to this point in the history of the world. And until someone steps up to refute that, I'm going with it. You're going to love this kid. He is coming up next. Then later on in the show, Danny Pomponio, Poe, going to be on the program. Talk about tuning his family's alcohol funny car. Christian Bird from ZMAX Dragway. Tina Stull is going to give you a Twitter how-to. You don't use Twitter. You're afraid of the Twitter. I get it. But only because you're unfamiliar, as with everything. You are afraid of what you do not understand. And Tina's going to give us all kinds of great information so that you guys, the WFO radio audience, can get on Twitter and gain all kinds of cool information. Then at the tail end of the show, Carly Jo Ellingson going to join us. Young lady trying to win the team champion contest. We've got a link on the front page of WFOradio.com for you to click and vote. In fact, we got a whole bunch of great reasons for you to go to the front page of WFOradio.com. For instance, a brand new sponsor. Get this, WFO audience. And this is right up all of our alleys. Something that from time to time you need or may need. And you can click the banner ad on the front page of WFO Radio and get this. Racers and race fans, first thing you need to know is I'm not an attorney at Spiegel and Utrera, PA. But you do know that a lot goes into every successful racing-related business. Engineers, mechanics, PR reps, marketing experts, and of course, sponsor and advertiser relationships. Well, when it comes to building these relationships, sound legal advice may help you avoid costly mistakes. How important is that? And Spiegel and Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with those tough legal and business questions at crucial times. They may help you avoid those mistakes. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel and Utrera PA General Counsel Club. Go to WFOradio.com. That's our homepage, front page of the website, WFOradio.com. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad. It says free on it. You'll know it. And enter your email address. They have rolled out the red carpet. WFO Radio listeners will receive a free 30-day membership in the Spiegel and Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And they can assist with how to buy or sell a business, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses. What are legitimate business expenses for tax purposes? Oh, we're coming up on that real soon. Tips on leasing a business location, whether for retail, office, warehouse, or industrial. Leasing versus buying options for real estate, for vehicles, for equipment. IRS examinations, audits, liens, levies, deficiencies, settlements, tax disputes, assistance with trademarks and copyrights, creation of business entities, drafting of contracts, all of these things. Go to WFOradio.com and click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad. Enter your email address and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel and Utrera PA General Counsel Club. Knowledge is power, and knowing that Spiegel and Utrera PA's General Counsel Club is one phone call away, come on, it might give you the confidence to succeed during the day and rest well at night. Welcome to AmeriLawyer.com as a sponsor of WFO Radio. When we come back, Drew Skillman going to join us right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Get ready, race fans. March 27th through the 29th, the NHRA Speed Demons are back at Z-Max Dragway. It's four wide and double the power. The four wide nationals are going to rock your world. See John Force, Antron Brown, Ron Capps, and Courtney Force blister the Z-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Get your tickets today to the most powerful drag race on the planet. Kids 13 and under are free, and every ticket's a pit pass. Don't wait. Call 1-800-455-FANS.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO store to order yours today.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials, known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now,
back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Well, here we go on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. If you've been following the show for a while, you know that after NHRA Mellow Yellow Series national events, we've got our winner views. If you win, you get to be on the show. But in between national events, we are looking for interesting stories. Well, that has put me in a bit of a bind the past couple of weeks, because one of the most interesting stories is almost certainly about to be a first-time winner in Pro Stock. And so, what do? Do I wait for him to win, or do I just reach out and have him on the show? And the answer is, we reach out and we have him on the show. Joining us now on the phone line, Drew Skillman, joining us now. Drew, welcome to WFO for the first time. How are
Hey.
You?
Doing great. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
So, we were thinking about waiting for you to win to have you on the show, but we decided it's more important to get you on and get to know you and get our people following you and what you're doing. Did we make the right decision?
I hope so. I sure hope so.
I think so. I think it could be after this weekend's race, or after next weekend's race at the Gator Nationals, we could have you back on as part of the winter celebration. But right now, you are off to a tremendous start.
Yeah, we've had a heck of a season. Everyone's working extremely well together. Just been blessed to have the crew we have and have the opportunity we've had.
Let's get into it. Of course, first time on the show, we got to get the background. I know that there's a lot of cars out there in the Lucas Oil Series that have got Skillman on the side of the car. You guys must have been and have been heavily involved in drag racing at many levels. Tell me how it got started for you.
We were car collectors for a long time. We ended up acquiring two 2010 Cobra Jets, and just kind of had the bug to go try them out one time, and me and my grandpa are extremely competitive, and we had to go back and try again. We were horrible the first time out, so just kept picking at it. Then we went to a divisional race. We've kind of been hooked since.
How old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
27.
All right. So you're in your 20s. You're not like a kid per se, but you've been going for a while now. And so you weren't like raised in drag racing or anything. You were able to acquire some drag cars and said, hey, let's try these things out.
Yeah, exactly. I spent most of my life at a circle track race. Grandfather raced ASA for a lot of years, the Hooter Series, stuff like that in the circle track world. And he retired in the early 2000s. So we just never got into circle track with me racing. And once we got the drag cars, I was already predestined to get into racing somehow. That ended up being it.
That is a cool story. Can you elaborate a little bit on those early conversations where you guys are walking around the car looking at them and thinking, these things, they look like they'd be a lot of fun?
Yeah, the first time we got them, I went up to Dearborn, Michigan, actually, to pick them up with Ray and the guys. And I knew immediately once we picked them up, I was going to have to take them out at least once. I didn't think it was going to go quite this far, but everything we touch ends up getting out of control somehow.
That is a cool way to be. That's WFO. I like it. Now, you finished second in stock eliminator points the last 2 years, once to Justin Lamb, once to Austin Williams. So you clearly have taken to this very well. It's something that not everybody gets, even if you have a competitive car. It's not a guarantee at success. You have been able to have success.
Yeah, I get obsessed with things, and when I kind of put my head to something, that's all I think about, and that's all I work on. It's really paid off, especially in the sports and stuff. I'm fortunate enough to where my work allows me to go to all these races, and working for the family, so I had the opportunity to give it 100% while doing it, and I think that makes a big difference.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, Ray Skillman, Discount Chevrolet, and a whole variety of dealerships are on the names of various cars. We had David Rampe on not long ago. And of course, when he rolls to the starting line, he's carrying the colors. And so you work, obviously, in the car biz. So it only makes sense that you would be racing.
Absolutely. We cars are our thing. We've always been in the car business my entire life, my father's entire life. My grandfather started when he was a young man. I mean, that's what we've done our whole lives. So if it's not cars, we wouldn't know what else to do.
A lot of our listeners can relate to that in some way or another. Now, you got the sportsman cars, you went to the track, you got hooked, as they say, and you had success in stock eliminator. While this was going on, give me your impression of the Mellow Yellow series as you started showing up to these national events and clearly having strong success. What was enticing about it, about pro stock in particular, and what did you think after you were getting up to speed with the stock eliminator and super stock cars? You doubled at Atlanta at the national event, so you're having success. Tell me about the allure of pro stock.
I don't know. I can't speak for everyone, but for me personally, it was just, they're awesome cars. They're naturally aspirated. They're five speeds. They're door cars. I know they're not the same car you can go buy tomorrow, but they're close enough. I mean, they're just awesome. It's heads up racing. It's an absolute blast. It ended up being a lot more fun than I thought it'd be as well.
At what point did you say to yourself, "That's where I want to be"? In terms of pro stock is the class. That's my target. That's my goal. Was it recent, or was that something you figured out early on?
Well, I mean, of course, the second I saw them, I wanted to drive one, but getting realistic with it, it was really the past last year. We just talked about, we joked around about it. I was going to run a comp car with the car I built with RJ. That was going to be a comp car, and we decided right towards the end, we were getting ready to build a motor, and decided to back out of that and just go ahead and go pro stock racing. We had full intentions of running comp this year.
But that makes a lot of sense, and I've heard from a lot of people out there that when you run the numbers, which everybody has to do regardless of what they're doing, if it's a business, if it's a race team, you run the numbers, they're not that different. And if you're going to do it, you might as well be in pro stock.
Yeah, by the time we put all the different gears and everything we'd have to order, and our plans were to go to pro stock maybe the next year, it just didn't make sense to just wait 1 year and spend all that money for stuff that wouldn't be able to transfer over.
And so pro stock it is. As the program is coming together, you get the Elite Motorsports Power. They are clearly the top tier of power plants. They are under the hood of the reigning Mellow Yellow World Champion. And so you're able to get together with Richard, and suddenly you find yourself in a situation where you've got equipment that can do whatever you want it to do. It's just about, can you put that together? Clearly, that's also very difficult to do. And yet, first race out, you make the final round. What was your own personal response to your effort? Was it surprising you were able to make the final in your first race?
Oh, yeah. I was worried about being able to do a burnout in front of a crowd of people when I showed up. let alone get to the final. You know, you go round by round in every race. You don't, of course, every race I go to, I think I'm going to win. I hope that anyways when I get there. And the further we went, we go, well, hell, we might be able to do this. And we ended up getting in the final, and, you know, history happened. We didn't win, but, you know, we'll give her another try. I thought we had a great outing the second race. And we'll just keep playing at it. I think we'll get it before the end of the season. I think we got all the right stuff and the right people around us, so.
Now, it was reported that initially you were going to run a limited schedule. I believe it was 15 races, but don't quote me. You tell me how many you're going to run. But with your performance such as it is, has there been any discussion about expanding the way you've been received, how everybody's talking about it, how exciting it is to see this young driver come out and do well? What was your schedule and what is your schedule at this point?
Currently right now we're going to run the first 15. We were going to intermittent it through just our choice races. We're going to run the first 15 now, the same as what we committed to originally, except just all in a row. And we're going to see where we're at. You know, if you're that close, we'll try to put some stuff together, but we have the budget for 15 now, and we're going to do the first 15. And if we're good, we'll, that gives us a little bit more bargaining chips with trying to get sponsors on board and all that. And I don't know. I hope you run the whole season. That's my hopes right now, but right now we're definitely locked into the first 15.
Excellent, excellent. Obviously, we watch this class with great interest because there's been a lot of discussion lately, and I know you're aware of it. What should happen with Pro Stock, and has the 500 cubic inch naturally aspirated platform evolved beyond its potential? Or people who have suggested, and you brought it up a couple minutes ago, it's not quite relevant in the actual manufacturers that you go to the showroom, but they kind of look like them, that kind of thing. And so everyone's wondering, well, what's going to happen? Erica wins last year. That's an injection of excitement. And now you show up on the scene. So it seems like there are some fresh, young faces that are entertaining this class. What is your personal outlook on the class, the platform, and where you think it might be going?
I think the class right now is it's not stagnant anymore. I think there's some new life put into it. The people like Bo Butner come in this year. They're fun people. They're people that aren't just beat to death, and they've done it for so many years, and they're unhappy with the way everything are. We're here because we want to have fun, and the days of pro racers only going there for money, I think that's over. I mean, this has got to be something you want to do because you love it. And, you know, you're going to have a day job to do it, but I hope it keeps going. And now, do I think they should maybe consider running factory body cars? Yeah, I would love to see a real Mustang and a real Camaro and a real Dodge Dart out there. But right now, it's hard to get anyone to say yes to the same answer. So I think until they get enough people together to say this is what we want and have a definite answer, it's not going to change. But I think there's a lot of manufacturers out there that have good enough stuff to make competitive heads-up class.
See, that's exciting for me to hear. And for people who are listening, I stood next to Drew's Mustang and just listened to that thing, the sound of it, and thinking to myself, wow, this is exciting. And, you know, eventually as things evolve, they'll get faster. It must be interesting for you to go back and forth from one season to the next between the two technologies, naturally aspirated five-speed versus the factory stuff you were running just a year ago.
Yeah, I start testing actually tomorrow morning with the Stocker again, and I'm excited. We had it fired up today. We were unloading everything, and I'm excited just getting that car again. They're a lot of fun. I mean, don't get me wrong, Pro Stock's a real rush, but these cars are still fun. They're still fast. I mean, they still put on a good show, I believe, and things like the shootouts and all that, it's going to be Pro Stock eventually. We just got to figure out what makes everyone happy.
Exactly, and getting everybody on the same page and thinking the same way. But as long as it's a good product and got wild cars doing wild things with cool personalities. Now, what about that aspect
Absolutely.
Of it, the personality? You mentioned a couple of things, and it's really refreshing to hear it, because it sounds like you, as a driver, are out there feeling a lot of the same things that the fans are feeling, that maybe people aren't happy and maybe people need to cut loose a little bit and be themselves and just enjoy
Absolutely.
Being at the track. Do you feel like you can bring that, like, Drew Skillman personality, I am who I am kind of thing to the table?
I'm a pretty shy guy. I mean, I hope I put on a decent show for people. But that's why we're here. I mean, NHRA can't afford this thing if it's just racers showing up. We're here to put on a show. We're here to have fun. I mean, we all work our butts off to get to the racetrack every weekend. That's what has to happen. It just doesn't appear. So, I mean, I'm there to have fun. If it's not fun, we're not going to show up anymore. And I don't blame the people in the crowd for doing the same. We got to put on a good show for them to have a reason to show up and spend their money. And we need to be happy while we're there, too. And it's going to be a fine balance to find that for everyone. And I found it with the group of people I'm with, and we're going to try to put on a good show for people, and that's what we're here for.
It's very exciting to hear you say that, because we've all invested portions of our lives into the sport and want to know that it is in the hands of people who at very least want it to succeed and do well. And it's good to hear that you are out here. You know, you've got two races under your belt as a pro, and you're saying a lot of things. I know my audience is going to flood my inbox with emails, and it is exciting to hear. Now, how are you dealing with the extra notoriety coming from the Lucas Oil Series, where, let's face it, the people who really know are hardcore industry people, diehard fans, fellow racers, bracket racers, people that are in the biz. But when you step into the Mellow Yellow Series, you have got a different layer of fans that pay attention and a different level of, we'll call it, quasi-fame or stardom. How has that been, being in that class for you?
You know what? I try not to think about it so as much as possible. I'm kind of a shy person. I turn red thinking about that kind of stuff, to be honest. I love talking to people. I'll talk to anyone for as long as they want to talk to me, but I try not to think about that. That stuff makes me more nervous than going to race, personally.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Don't worry about it. You'll be a pro in 6 months. No doubt.
We'll see.
Well, I think it is great. We got the Amalie Motor Oil Gator Nationals, not this weekend, but next, the East Coast opener. Now, I know you've run the Gators many times and had great success running in the Southeast, that Atlanta double, for instance. But talk a little bit about your view of this event. Where does it fall in terms of, like, clout and rep, the Gator Nationals? I know a lot of people, I'm sure, are going to be trying to get out of the snow and come down and start their racing season on the East Coast.
It's always a great race. I've always, in sports and stuff, I've struggled here. I hope to turn that around with pro stuff. I hope it's the complete opposite. But I've had not so much luck so far here at the Gators. But, you know, we're going to give her hell. I think I got the right stuff, and my head's in the right place this year, and I think we'll do good.
You sound like you're having fun. Now, what about, we got on this show, we're going to do a Twitter how-to with Tina Stull Racing. She's got 316,000 Twitter followers, and she's got this thing figured out. We're still all learning. I believe I have brought you up on the Twitter machine, Drew, and I'm not liking what I'm seeing.
I don't tweet. Set that up. I said that one time, looked at it, and I was done.
I believe you have tweeted one time. That is true.
Yeah.
Drew_Skillman has one tweet. You have 23 followers. That's not acceptable.
Yeah.
You gotta step it up.
Oh, that's not for me. I just got back on Facebook because of the pro racing, and Erica's sister is the one that handles all that stuff for me. I'm not much for the social media. It doesn't do much for me.
I understand. You've got someone handling it, though, which is all that matters. As long as you got
Absolutely.
Someone who can, we got to juice it up. You're going to get at least two more followers, because I'm going to follow you.
Yeah.
And,
that's a good deal.
Some behind the scenes.
I don't even know how to log on to it, to be honest.
Listen, and that is why we've got Tina on, because she's going to explain to us. You're not alone. There's like millions of people, myself included, who had your experience, who looked at it and our eyes crossed and rolled back into the head like, whoa, what is that? You're comfortable on the starting line, so, you know, this is only like 10 or 15 times more complicated.
Yeah, it should be easy, no problem.
Now, speaking of that, we're going to talk with Christian Bird from ZMAX and the 4-Wide Nationals. Your first 4-Wide experience is coming up not long after the Gators, 2 weeks after the Gators. You're going to have to retrain your brain to go 4-Wide in pro stock. Everybody says that's complicated. What do you think?
We were joking around that today with Richard. I don't know how it's going to go. We'll find out shortly, that's for sure. Either I'll get it immediately or I will never catch up with it. It's going to be one of the two, I think. It's going to be interesting, that's for sure.
Do you play video games? Are you a gamer?
No, not at all. I have the worst case of ADD. I can't stand it. I always pace around. I can't stare at that stuff.
Well, you know, maybe it will work in the four wide. Maybe it is an advantage.
I hope so. I hope it takes right to it. That'd be great.
Well, we will see. Not long from now, we got two great races coming up. Hey, Drew, thank you for coming on WFO Radio. I love hearing more than just the winner's interviews or a couple of brief things. I feel like the audience is going to get to know you a lot better in this 20 minutes. You really laid it out on the table. I greatly appreciate that. And I know your first win is coming soon. I just don't know where or when. And we wanted to get you on the show as soon as possible. So thank you very much for coming on, for joining us, for submitting to this torture. And we appreciate it and wish you the best of luck in the coming events. Go get them.
Well, I appreciate you all. You put on the best sportsman racing and professional racing podcast I've ever heard, that's for sure. And anytime you want back on, I'd be happy to.
Whoa, wait. You've heard the show before?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've been racing for long enough. I've absolutely heard it.
Well, that makes me feel great. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I got two more shows have been added just because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Way to go. You know, it's as I said, you never know who's listening, number one. And number two, you guys are driving so much. You're going over the road. You got a lot of time to kill in between races. So that makes me feel great, Drew.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for listening. Another
no
one.
No
on
problem.
The...
I appreciate you.
Awesome. Okay. Drew, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on, and we'll see you in Gainesville.
See you there. Bye.
Drew Skillman with us here on WFO Radio. How good was that? Getting to know this kid a little bit, and he sounds like he's ready. Whether he says he's a little shy, but everybody is at first. And then you kind of grow into it. But he sounds like he's got the personality and the character to be a star out there. Just start winning some races and get into it with some of the other racers. I love it. And it is exciting and thrilling to know that he listens to WFO as we hear more and more these days. So very cool. Thanks to Drew for listening to the show, of course. And all you other Lucas Oil Series racers that I am unaware that you are out there and the ones that I am aware. What's up? And to all you listeners out there. How about the Race Day Nation app, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, on that we were included. That is kind of cool. MRN, PRN, WFO on the Race Day Nation app, which is another way to listen along with Stitcher and TuneIn and our own dedicated WFO Radio app that Drew listens on, which you can get push notifications on. So really cool stuff happening here on WFO Radio. And we got new sponsors coming on, the folks at AmeriLawyer. Hopefully you'll click that banner ad and sign up for the General Counsel Club, which is very cool, and some old school sponsors that have been with us for a long time, like the folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Have you done the Dragster Adventure yet? You heard Drew, he just got involved in drag racing not that long ago. He was a roundy round guy. But then got a couple of hits and realized, hey, this is for me. This is what I want to do. And look, now he's running pro stock. What about you? Log on to frankhawley.com. Get on there and have a look at the Dragster Adventure program. Check out the schedule. That is a great way to do it. You look at the schedule, you find out where they're going, whether it be Fontana, California, or like right now, Phoenix, Arizona, all these different places that they happen to be. Check it out and get out there on the track. 0-60 in 3 seconds, 0-130 in the quarter mile. That's a lot faster than most people get to go, but it's not even the speed. The speed is a selling point. Hey, I went fast. But that's not what it's about. It's about the weight transfer or the way the car reacts. Driving a dragster will put a smile on your face, and trust me, it'll be something you will be talking about for a long, long time. They'll break it up into four easy payments if you give them a call, 866-480-7223. That's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Of course, tell him you heard it on WFO. Hey, I heard it on WFO. WFO. 866-480-7223 for Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. When we return, we're going to hear from Danny Pomponio III. He tunes for his family's top alcohol funny car. We're going to get into it. On tuning an alcohol funny car, what does it take, what kind of data, and how they did at their first regional race when we come back right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans, first you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents, and more. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and enter your email address and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. The summer is over. Winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax Coffee by going to Rodax Coffee and Grills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodax, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas. 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out WilsonManifolds.com, the leader in intake manifold and nitrous oxide development. They've set records and won championships in just about every series in professional racing. Sprint Cup, Nationwide, Camping World Truck Series, NHRA Pro Stock, right up to the Nitro classes. If you're looking for extra horsepower, check out the leader in intake and nitrous development at WilsonManifolds.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
All right, let's get back into it here on WFO Radio. As you know, if you've listened to the show for a while now, you know we are ramping up, as in more and more coverage of the Lucas Oil Series top alcohol classes, because as time goes by, we're getting to know these guys real well. Well, at the very beginning of that learning curve was Danny Pomponio and the family, the whole Pomponio family, and joining me now, he's been on the show a couple times in the past. We're having him back, Danny the Third, doing the tuning on his father's machine. Danny, welcome back to WFO. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm good. It's always great to be on. Always a pleasure.
It's great to have you on, and I want to thank you here on the air for putting us together with Adam Rhodes, who we learned a lot, like a lot to be learned in the Lucas Oil Series top alcohol ranks, and thank you very much for helping us make that happen.
That's no problem. That was my pleasure. I knew it was always going to be a good interview with him. He always has a lot to say. I was very happy to put that together, and I actually listened to it the night it came out. I myself was on my way to Gainesville driving the rig down, and I brought it up on the WFO radio app on my iPhone and sat and got to listen to the whole thing. It was very good.
I do want the full list of Adam's approved taco restaurants across the country. I think that will be good to keep track of, but we'll work on that in the future. Now, you went down to a Division II event. You guys were able to score a runner-up finish. How are you feeling about that?
Feeling okay. To tell you the truth, it's, you can ask anybody on my team. I'm very hard to satisfy. you know, even we go out, we win a couple races. I always think it could have been a little bit better. We went down there. I wasn't feeling that great going into there. We made a lot of changes in the off season. So basically what I had to do was throw away all my tuning notes from the past 3 years and pretty much start fresh. I took a gamble on the first hit, and it went down A to B, but, you know, all five laps, Dad really, really had to drive the car like a driver. I missed on the tune-up a lot. We're lucky we qualified third. But, you know, again, I have to owe the credit to Dad just handling the car like a winning driver, like a hopefully a future champion. He was out there, he was hitting the buttons and short shifting and you know, pedaling and everything and just getting that car down the track. You know, myself, I would come back and look at the data. I'm not sure what I was looking at because I wasn't looking at it correctly, and I made some pretty bad calls, which unfortunately I didn't realize until I got home after the Gainesville race. I said, well, you know, why did I struggle so much there, and why did Dad have to drive that car so much? And it was basically, I guess the off season got to me, and I had forgot a couple, you know, rookie things that I was taught very early in my career as far as tuning goes. But fortunately, I saw those problems. I now understand what I did wrong. The hardest pill to swallow was to go to the crew and go to my dad after that race and admit all the mistakes I had made at that race. And it was hard to do, but I feel I need to do that to kind of give them the confidence back. Hey, guys, I messed up, but I'll fix it. I know what I did. You know, we'll do better the next one. And my hardest part, I got home and, you know, just with my head held pretty low, because I feel like the air at that race, we may never, ever see that air again. I feel like I lost a very great opportunity to make some career runs and, you know, just kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit and looking at new data and maybe just trying too hard. I feel like I threw that opportunity away. Just one more chance if I could ever have that error again, Joe. I'll do it better, I promise.
Well, you say that, but for those of us who are getting ready to go to the Amalie Motor Oil Gator Nationals, not this weekend, but the following, where you have won back-to-back races, you're going for the hat trick, the three-peat, all of those things, I don't want it to be too cold, okay? I like it to be, you know, sweater, maybe, but it sounded like you guys were dealing with, like, parkas up there in Gore-Tex.
It was chilly for the regional last weekend or the weekend before. I think Thursday we were there. They had an open test session, and I had planned on testing. And the high temperature got up to only about 44 degrees on Thursday. So I squashed testing just knowing I wasn't going to learn anything on a very, very green track in some pretty cool conditions. I knew we would never run like that again. So I kind of made the executive decision, we're going to go into this blind tomorrow. We'll just do the best we can. I think a couple cars tried to make hits on Thursday, but it was not many full pulls just due to the weather. Friday was looking a little iffy in the morning, too. A lot of teams got together and started talking. What do we want to do Friday? Do we even want to run today? Can we push us off? Because it was so cold. I think the high for Friday was only 55. We were a little worried about how the track was going to be. But I'll tell you what, it ended up being phenomenal. The track was awesome. I can't say how good that track was for being a little nervous. You know, I knew they hadn't run on it in a while, but we went out there, and the track would have held anything we threw at it. The final round, I had the highest wheel speed I've ever had on a car, and it probably would have held more. So I was very happy, very impressed with the track after a little bit of concern at the beginning with the weather and everything, but it was sunny, it was beautiful, it was just nice to be out of rainy, snowy, icy Jersey for a little while.
Yeah, regardless of how cold it was still a lot warmer than where you guys are based out of, that is for sure. Danny Pomponio III with us here on WFO Radio, tuner for his family's top alcohol funny car team. They displayed the WFOradio.com sticker very prominently throughout 2014. Got us a lot of TV time making final rounds, and we are certainly very happy about that. I think we've got many listeners out there who maybe saw the stickers on the TV show and said, hey, what's that WFO thing? Let me go check it out. And next thing you know, they're hearing interviews with drivers. Now, Danny, what are your goals for 2015? You're talking about Like, this is a downtrodden interview. This is depressing. This is morbid stuff here. You're talking about failures. It's one race in, man. Things are looking up. You're going to a happy place, Gainesville, where you have dominated. Tell me about what you changed in the offseason and what you plan to do heading into this race that you have had such great recent success at.
Well, obviously my plan, like any year, is to finish as good as we can. In 13, we finished fifth in the world. My goal for 14 was to maintain or do a little bit better. Unfortunately, we fell to eighth in the world in 14. In 15, I want to get that back. I used to run a very consistent car, and I'm going all the way back to 13 now, where every lap the thing would just go down the track and we were turning on wind lights. I think we had something 24 runs in a row clean, and I think 18 or 20 of them were in the mid-50s. I need to get that back. And I really concentrated a lot over this winter. I looked at a lot of data and said, what am I doing wrong? How can we make this better? Fortunately, a lot of resources on our side. I spent an incredible amount of time with the Bonifanis. You know, they're just right around the corner from me here. So we did a lot of testing on their clutch dyno, learned a lot from it. And from that, I went to the Gainesville Regional with a completely new clutch program, a new thought, a new way of tuning that clutch to hope free up other areas in the car. You know, instead of just putting Band-Aids on everything, let's fix it, let's make it right. So what was my problem before? Okay, we spent a lot of time on the dyno, we think we realized it. I took the car to Gainesville for the Regional, and hey, guess what? We were almost right there. I just saw a little couple things that I needed to tickle to make it right. But it was endless hours on the dyno, and I'll have to send you videos because this thing gets pretty scary. Winging that clutch unit up to 10,000 RPM on the clutch dyno is never the funnest thing to do.
Sounds fun. Come over here.
Scary. Oh, boy, it's scary. So that was one thing. Okay, I got to fix the clutch, and we did that. We have looked into new design as far as the clutch, the pressure plate, the hat goes, and not just for me. You know, I'm doing a lot of development as far as the class goes. What can we do to make their discs better? What can we do to make their units better? And fortunately, it was just my stuff that was able to run these tests, and we could see some things on it. So expect a lot of new product out from them because of my downfalls or my struggle areas. So that was one thing. That was motor plate back. I think I got a handle on that. Another huge thing this year was Mike Kopchick down at Rage Fuel Systems. Poor guy, I bent his ear on the phone a lot. He had our fuel system for a long time and really crunched some numbers and looked at a lot of data. Again, I went to Gainesville with that change. I saw a lot of potential. I saw very, very good things that I just need to get right on my end now. With, you know, it was neat. We run it up at the Gainesville. Again, I don't think I earned it. Dad earned it. I didn't. But I'm very excited now that after I got home and looked at this data, the light bulb just didn't go off. A whole ballast fell on my head looking at this data, and I saw it. So I'm so excited to get back to Gainesville and hopefully redeem myself a little bit and just haul butt and hopefully turn on some wind lights. You know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people watching us, you know, having won that race, the National 2 years in a row, and we won the regional there and runnered up a couple of the regionals there. So I think our name is hopefully associated with that track now, and I would just like to go and maintain that and be a force. I want to be a known name, you know, and we need to do that by running well.
Let me ask you, I know our listeners, I always try to put myself in the position of them because they are on the quest for knowledge like all of us, and I don't want you to give me secret details or details that are proprietary, but can you just list some of the data points that need to be considered doing your tune or as you try to figure out where you went right or where you went wrong in that, like, you know, engine speed, all of these things? Just rattle them off. You don't have to tell us what they do or why they do it, but just when you say you're studying data and you're compiling data to try to make the tune as good as possible given the conditions, what are you toiling over?
Well, there's endless amounts of data and changes you can make. However, I mean, a quick rundown. I come back, obviously, I bring up my race pack, which is my data logger system, and that records 30 or 40 different pieces of information. So what I do, I come back, obviously, you bring up engine RPM, driveshaft RPM, and clutch RPM. That's the first thing I look at. And I'm more of a target guy. I know where I want those RPMs to be at certain times during the run. If they're not there, how do I fix it to make those points there? From there, you know, you can look at so many other sensors, fuel flow, fuel pressure, clutch slip, trans slip, your cylinder temperatures, your head temperatures. You know, obviously, I always come back, I check oil pressure, make sure that was good. I monitor the lean outs to make sure they worked right. G meter and wheelie bar are very important in the tune-up. Obviously, boost pressure, how much boost you're making during a run. If it's low, why is it low? And then from there, there's also, you start combining pieces of information now. You know, you can take your engine RPM and your clutch RPM, and it gives you a slip percentage number. You can look at that to try to get it to where you want your target. So, you know, you have all these individual pieces of information, and then you start piling them on top of each other and just start doing a little bit of math. And, you know, you see if your fuel's where you want it for what the air should be. You know, obviously, I record and check my timing to make sure that was where I wanted it. And a lot of the stuff, I'd say it's 50-50. Half of the information helps me tune. The other half helps me make sure there's nothing going wrong with the car. A lot of these things that you record, you'll see these little anomalies during a run, and it'll tip you off to, hey, I think something's starting to go wrong in a car. You know, is oil pressure down? Well, why could that be? Are we pinching an oil line? You might see one cylinder running a little bit hotter. Well, what is that? Do I have a clogged fuel line? Is the nozzle broke? Is there something going on? So half of it is trying to help to make the car go faster. The other half is keeping the parts in the motor, keeping the rods in it, and keeping everything working right. Because, you have to have a working hot rod to go laps. And if you're breaking parts all the time, you're not going to go laps.
And at the same time, your dad is in there. This is your dad. He's in there. He's driving. He's obviously a real wheel man. I've seen him make some incredible runs, win some races, whether out by the wall or near the center line where he's hanging on to it and turns on the wind light just the same. But every tuning decision is really personal for you because it's not like you can just turn everything up to 11 and and send your dad out there.
Well, this is true. You know, obviously, I'm big on safety. We've done a lot of stuff to our car to help the safety aspect of everything. And a lot of that actually came from Nick Bastio. When I went out to learn for him and when he was on Alexis Ajoria's car, they were very, very big into safety. But you're right. On the other hand, I have to give Dad a drivable car every run. If he's in there pedaling and short shifting, you're never quite sure how that car is going to respond to it and how it's going to react. Unfortunately, he's got a lot of experience under his belt now, and he does an excellent job driving. And I've even said before, he's saved my butt so many times where I've just made the wrong call, and he goes out there and somehow gets that thing A to B and turns on a wind light. Now, on the other hand, I do pride myself on, knock on wood, not hurting parts. You know, if you're not blowing the motor up, you're making it a little bit easier on the driver. Also, the more parts I keep in the car, the more races we get to go to. So that's a little bit of incentive for me, is try to keep the cost down, and we can go out and play a lot more.
Absolutely. It sounds like fun. And I love being able to talk to you about this because it's funny to hear drag racers talk about what is fun, like pouring over data and, you know, downloading computers, except when it's attached to 250-mile-per-hour top alcohol funny cars, it's exciting. Let me ask you, Danny, about this, though. The East Coast-West Coast rivalry, where is it at this point? And, you know, with Frank having retired at the beginning of last year, at the end of 2 years ago, takes a big player off of the East Coast. I'm looking at the guys that are big players out there in the West Coast, and I'm thinking that it has a new front opened up with this rivalry, in that there's the whole European front now with Yanni Lindberg and Ulf Leanders, and those guys have seem to have really figured out a lot with these top alcohol funny cars. Where is the power right now? Is it east? Is it west? Or is it in Europe, an alcohol funny car?
I think it's a combination of everything. There's hitters on each coast. There's a lot of cars on each coast that I'm still very scared of that I never want to run, which is almost any car in the country right now. It's everybody's so good. I was just this weekend keeping up to date on the race, the regional race out in Phoenix, and a lot of hitters out there, Shane Westerfield and Jay Payne and Annie Whiteley and everybody else, and they're just all so capable of just running very good times and winning every race. And, you know, it's tough for me to sit home and think, man, would I have ran that well if I were there? And knowing that I'm going to end up facing these guys come Chicago or Norwalk or Dallas or maybe even Gainesville or Charlotte. As far as the Europeans, Yanni and Ulf, wow, you know, that's all I can say about them. The best part is I've gotten to know them guys. They're a great group of guys. Everybody enjoys being around them. Everybody likes having them here. It's neat. It turns up the competition. It is what I'm going to say, friendly rivalry now, because I don't think anybody really doesn't like anybody out there. So it's all in good fun, it seems. It's all good, friendly rivalry. But, I mean, you know, like I said, just the, as far as Yanni Lindberg goes and how he's been running, just wow.
Yeah. The number's coming on the board, and he was on the show not long ago. And folks, if you're a fan of the Top Alcohol Funny Car class, you can go back into our recent archive and hear a lot of good interviews with the personalities that are emerging on the scene, and it is very, very cool. Well, we've got the Amalie Motor Oil Gator Nationals, not this weekend, but next weekend, where you guys are back-to-back defending champions, and you got to represent for the East Coast at this race, the East Coast Opener.
Well, we would absolutely like to. We don't want the Wally to go back overseas, and I don't want the Wally going back to the West Coast, even though, like I said, I'm very good friends with all those guys out there. But no, I want to take another one home back to Jersey, and I want Florida to be our track, and Charlotte too. We usually have a little bit of success there. So
absolutely, that one you've had some success, and we are compelling our WFO radio audience to get their tickets on ZmaxDragway.com. They come on and sponsor the show for a few weeks before the event, and we've had a lot of great success. I know I've had great success there, and Christian Bird on this show as well. So it's all coming together. The Gainesville Z-Max back and forth has worked out real well for Pomponio Racing.
Yeah, it's fun. I like it. It's you get to spend a lot of time on the road. You know, like I said, so we went down for the regional a week or two ago here, and left our rig down there, actually left it in the very capable hands of Chris and Kevin Hull. Another really neat thing about the sport, you know, here's one of our competitors. We seem to face off against this guy a lot, and he kicks our butt a lot, and we're leaving Florida. We had to come home, you know, for 2 weeks to get some work done here up at the shop, and hey, Chris and Kevin Hull, do you mind watching our stuff for 2 weeks, you know? And it's, yeah, sure, no problem. So it's a really neat family we have out there, and everybody helps to take care of each other, and I don't think we could all do it without each other. It just works out well.
Well, I think it is great, and as we have spoken about in the past, I know a lot of people show up to the races to get baptized by Nitro and spend a lot of time in the Mellow Yellow Series pits, but if they get the chance, which I know they will, they just got to plan ahead, get on down to see the top alcohol cars in the Lucas Oil Series, whether the dragsters or the funny cars. A lot of cool people down there. Danny, I will see you next weekend. I am looking forward to it. The East Coast Opener, the Amalie Motor Oil Gator Nationals, then after that, Z-Max Dragway for the 4-wide. It is going to get fun.
Absolutely, Joe. Again, I can't wait. Two of my favorite tracks to go to for obvious reasons. Get me out of Jersey, that's all I can say.
Don't worry. Listen, the Groundhog has reported in. They say only two more months, Danny. Two more months of winter. They say this one is going to end at the end of May, and you guys, it'll warm up over there. So you guys got it good. It's coming.
I think that's about when we'll be getting home after Gainesville, Charlotte, and then I think we have a Richmond race in there sometime too, so It'll still be a couple weeks before the rig even makes it home.
Yeah.
But hopefully it'll be warm and ice free by then.
Put the chain. You can take the chains off of it. The chains.
That would be nice.
Danny, thanks for coming on the show and giving us a little bit of a behind-the-scenes glimpse at what you're dealing with tuning these funny cars. Great stuff. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you very much. Anytime.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Pomponio III, a.k.a. Danny, a.k.a. Poe, with us here on WFO Radio. And I love that conversation because I learn. I'm learning more and more. I want to start tuning one of these things. Not really. Sounds like a lot. It's funny, the drag racers out there, the drag racing community, because these are people that want to challenge themselves. And that is the greatest aspect of it. You really aren't racing the other guy. You're really racing yourself. The other guy is over there, and he's racing himself too, and somebody's going to get there, and it's all a team atmosphere. But I love hearing about it and the detail, and as we unfold the layers, it is very cool. I can't wait to get to Gainesville next weekend for the Amalie Motor Oil Gator Nationals, and then following the Four Wide Nationals at ZMAX Dragway. It's going to be great. I'm very much looking forward to it. And coming up next, we've got Christian Bird going to join us on the show. He's the general manager for ZMAX Dragway. Remember, they have got new surface there. Is it going to be the quickest in the country? The weather is certainly going to be good. The date has been moved up a little bit, and we have got new surface, so what's it going to mean? We're going to have to ask Christian Bird when we return. Very cool stuff. And then after that, we've got a Twitter how-to with Tina Stull from at Tina Stull Racing and Carly Jo Ellingson on this show. If you don't know Carly Jo, we don't know either, but we do know that she is in the team champion contest in 2015. 3 years ago, it was the Mihalik brothers, and last year, it was Tina Stull, who is going to do a Twitter how-to for us. This year, it's Carly Jo Ellingson, who WFO Radio is going to throw our support behind and try to get her all the way to the final round when the folks at Champion take over. You're going to want to listen to this young lady. She is very sharp. She is a racer, and she is going to be on the show at the tail end of the program. Tina Stull is going to talk to all of us. This is kind of a new segment we've got on the program where we are trying to get our listeners and audience members up to speed with Twitter. People don't get it. They don't know what to do. Tina has 316,000 Twitter followers. She knows what to do. And she's going to share her knowledge with you, the WFO Radio audience. But when we come back, ZMAX Dragway General Manager Christian Bird with us here on WFO Radio. But first, I want to tell you about Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com, Marvin Rodak. Did you wake up this morning with some Rodak's coffee? I did. And it was great. Got me started off right. Bang the blower. WFO Radio, the custom blends that so many of our audience members know and love. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call Marvin. He likes it when WFO Radio listeners call him, 817-924-6821, when they're calling to order coffee. Let's be straight about that. Hot sauces, A26 award-winning barbecue spice rub. I know a lot of people around the country are still freezing, but the spring's coming, folks. I promise eventually it's going to get here, and you're going to want to start your day. You're going to be out there barbecuing at night, but you're going to want to start your day with some Rodak's coffee. Over 40 single original coffees roasted special for you, and Marvin knows exactly how to get it done. I love the hot sauces, the habanero hot sauce, and he's got the tonsil tickler. He's got all these different hot sauces, which are great. The barbecue spice rub, great, but it's really all about the coffee. Wherever you are, pick up the phone, 817-924-6821. Hey, Marvin, I heard about it on WFO Radio. I want to try what you got. He'll ship it out to you, and you will love it. We've got WFO Radio listeners all around the globe checking out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. We'll be back with Christian Bird from ZMAX Dragway after this, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Get ready, race fans. March 27th through the 29th, the NHRA Speed Demons are back at ZMAX Dragway. It's four wide and double the power. Wide Nationals are going to rock your world. See John Force, Antron Brown, Ron Capps, and Courtney Force blister the ZMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Get your tickets today to the most powerful drag race on the planet. Kids 13 and under are free, and every ticket's a pit pass. Don't wait. Call 1-800-455-FANS.
Hey, race fans, first you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO Radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
WFO Radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
The stars of drag racing. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Folks, we have got the champions, Matt Hagen.
It was an awesome feeling to be able to go out there and turn four wind lights on, win a championship, and beat John in the final. I mean, that's what we've been working for. That's been our goal for the whole year.
Erica Enders-Stevens, and she joins us now.
If we're going to be the best, we've got to beat the best, and that's what we had to do.
Andrew Hines. Being on WFO is like an extra little bonus.
It is. You know, that's one of the first things I always think about after I see that wind light. You know, you get the Wally and you think, okay, I get to talk to Joe tomorrow. It's a pretty awesome deal. You've done a great job. You're a great ambassador for our sport. And we really appreciate what you've done for us to bring another platform for people to hear us.
NHRA Nitro is available on demand at WFOradio.com. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, and welcome to all our new listeners and first-time listeners. And it doesn't matter how you listen to the show, we're just happy you are listening. In fact, this past weekend, big announcement, WFO Radio added to the Race Day Nation Motorsports app, a whole collection of great racing shows all together, and WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, and Ignition are on there. If you love listening to motorsports talk, well, it is a cool place for you to check out. Now, we've got a lot going on this show. As you know, the Amalie Motor Oil Gator Nationals are next weekend, which means we are getting close to the Z-Max Dragway 4-wide. We have got a new surface out there at Z-Max Dragway, and here to tell us all about it, he is the general manager of Z-Max Dragway, Christian Bird. Christian, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back, Joe.
We are excited. This has become a yearly ritual. A couple of times a year we get to speak with you, and this time a little bit different, though. We got a new surface to get ready for. You came on during the off season to tell us how it was going. Give us the update.
We finished the new surface, the new Z-Max Dragway, as we're calling it here. We couldn't be more excited, more pleased with the way it turned out. We made some slight tweaks that should lead to really fast speeds, great ETs, and hopefully set some records here come the end of the month at the 4-wide Nationals.
You say tweaks. Immediately, I thought they put a chicane at the 700-foot point.
We tried that. NHRA didn't like that idea too much. So, we changed some of the concrete area over to asphalt, and we made some tweaks to the starting line area, and then we put a little bit more texture back in the concrete as well. So it's super smooth. It should be super fast and allow us to throw everything that NHRA's got from a track prep standpoint to the track at the end of the month, and hopefully we see some great Carolina weather here. Temperatures warming up around these parts, and I'm really looking forward to it.
We want to get a ton of our listeners out there to this event. Of course, I'll be out there as part of the NHRA track announcing team, and it always amazes me how you guys and your team over there at ZMAX are able to come up with a new promotion or basically reach out and try to grab NASCAR fans out there. I want to talk to you about that, but I'd like to explore this track prep situation a little bit more, because okay. I think it's important for everybody to know where your mind was at when you went through this process. So let's back up. Obviously, some things went wrong in the past, but you hired a construction team. You guys got around a table. At that point, can you give us some insight into what was your top priority? Like, when you guys decided, we're going to do this, we're going to spend this money, what was your top priority, and does it have anything to do with becoming the quickest and fastest drag strip on the planet?
I think you always want to be quick and fast, but we wanted a safe racing surface here at ZMAX Dragway. We looked at all the options that were on the table, and we thought that this was the best solution to provide the best show for the fans and for the racers. You know, we took everybody into consideration, but at the end of the day, you know, we pride ourselves in working for the ticket buyers. We can't have these jobs, we can't have these facilities without the support of our race fans. And we weren't delivering on that promise to them. So I feel like we have spent the entire off season crafting and creating the best racing surface in the world. So I'm just excited to get some cars out there to see what the scoreboards say, and get a little bit of rubber down. So everything's stalling out around these parts, and really, really excited just for the next few weeks.
If nothing else, not for the lack of effort and trying, you guys are putting together an incredible four-wide surface.
We are. And there's, you know, another exciting bit of news is this is the first live broadcast of the season for NHRA. They'll be live on ESPN, actually, the mothership, on Sunday afternoon. So it's allowed us to make some tweaks that we've been wanting to make for a while to the event schedule. So we want a normal NHRA national event for your listeners. They know that it generally starts at 11 at most places. So we're actually not going to start eliminations on Sunday until 1 p.m. So it allows us to get the prime real estate of that 2 to 5 TV window. So it definitely adds additional variables for the teams and the quick turnarounds. But hopefully it leads to some really exciting racing here at on March 29th at ZMAX Dragway. And we just couldn't be more excited about that tweak. It'll allow some of our fans who might want to attend church that morning to head out to the racetrack after they get home. And so I think it's going to be a win-win all around.
That's very exciting. You've got me excited just talking about it. I'm sure glad that I'm doing the interview. Folks, if you want tickets, it's 800-455-FANS. That's 800-455-FANS for the Four Wide Nationals at ZMAX Dragway. Of course, I'll be there. Christian's going to be there. Why should you not come out and take part of the live event? It is so different, the live TV. I don't want to overstate it. But the same thing, when something's happening live, suddenly all the social media is very relevant, and the opportunity to pull in a new listener or a new viewer who's never seen it, who might see something on Facebook or Twitter or otherwise, it exists.
Yeah, you're spot on, Joe. I think nothing beats the live experience being at the track in NHRA drag racing, because you get the smells, the feels, the interaction with all the drivers and the teams. So that's hard to replace. It's even hard to communicate over the airwaves on the ESPN broadcast. But, you know, it gives people a chance that may not have experienced NHRA drag racing before to come across it for eliminations. And Four Wides is such a unique event in itself. You know, it's still, the ticket sales have been great for this event. They continue to grow this event. It's one of the most popular in and all of NHRA. The TV ratings has been one of the top one or two rated events for the last 4 years. So, I mean, the people, you know, we fought through some criticism initially, but I think we figured a lot of stuff out, and the product's just second to none. So it's really exciting racing. If you've never been here, if you've never been to ZMAX Dragway, we'd love to have you here for a little southern hospitality. But, you know, in moving the event up a couple weeks due to some conflicts at our sister tracks, and we flipped with the traditional Vegas date for Vegas 1. So we think the temperatures, the new track, all these conditions set up a perfect storm for record-breaking speeds and a big weekend here at the end of March.
They're going to rotate the earth. Let's talk about some of the deals out there I see. Normally you guys have something extra going on. It's not as simple as, you know, get your tickets here at this site. You've got different packages. Kids 13 and under are admitted free with an adult. That's a great program that seems to have spread to other tracks because it just makes sense. You got to get the kids interested and get them out there. Got anything else cool that you guys are doing this time around, Christian?
Yeah, if you purchase tickets early, we always have the buy three, get one free. You can also bring a Mellow Yellow product to our box office and get $8 off any single-day tickets. You know, our Friday tickets, people talk about how expensive it is to go to a race, so they start at $20. So if you apply that $8 discount, you're talking about an adult ticket getting into a national event on Friday for $12. So our partners at Coca-Cola are very generous. They help us promote that offer, but, you know, it's not expensive. With the free kids tickets, $12 adult tickets, it's not expensive to attend an NHRA national event. So we'd love to have you out here, love to have you over, and just to set up for a spectacular four-wide nationals here in March 27th.
You know, hearing you talk about it, Christian, there are times where I'm reading, and, you know, I get excited, I'm positive, this is great, I get down, I get depressed, I get morbid. Depending on who I'm reading, and a lot of people post, and maybe they're angry at that moment and they're posting something at that moment, but they post about the cost. But you just told me that me and my kid, if I had one, could go out to a Friday and watch hopefully two sessions of Nitro, four wide, getting in the gate. I get a Mellow Yellow beforehand. I drink it on my way into the gate. I turn over the can. Me and my son, he's 9, 10, 11. We're in for $12. Like, where can you get that?
You got it. I mean, it's hard to find that kind of value in all forms of entertainment. I mean, anybody that's taking their kids to the bowling alley, to the movie theater, to anywhere else, to a ball game, realizes how expensive it can be. And so we try to provide a lot of value. You know, we brought the jet cars back on Friday and Saturday this spring. So there's a lot of fun stuff for the kids to do. Big kid zones. We got some RC car racing we're going to do out in the pit area. It's just going to be a lot of fun for the whole family. And again, you know, 1-800-455-FANS, or you can log on to ZMAX Dragway and look at all these great options. And our friendly ticket office staff would love to help you out if you want to come to Charlotte here March 27th.
Yeah. Let's get in on that, because that's something that I've identified about your track that I want to know what's up. Everybody,
okay.
It's March 27th through 29th. When I walk into the tower there, and it's not just me, I've had other people report this. Everybody there is like this very welcoming, positive, smiling face. Hello every day. So nice. And I can tell you without giving details that it's not like that at all the other tracks. What do you guys do with your staff to make them so friendly? Like, I'm not joking here. Everybody needs to understand this is a fact, that the folks at ZMAX go over and above when it comes to customer service. What gives, Christian? What are you doing?
We put a lot of effort into training our event time staff. We have thousands of employees that help us out during our NHRA drag races as well as our NASCAR events. So they get a lot of extra hours here at our facilities. And, you know, it's part of a little bit Southern hospitality is part of who we are. But that's, you know, that can make or break a guest experience. When you have a good positive first impression and a positive last impression, it keeps people coming back, and that we find that we that's a very high priority here. It's a very high priority for all our Speedway Motorsports facilities across the country, and we want to be better than even our sister tracks. But it's just part of who we are and who we've always been, and we continually look ways to hear the fans out, hear their feedback, make slight adjustments, tweaks to how we do things on the guest services side of our business, and we've just that's paramount. People have a lot of places they can go spend their hard-earned money. And we want them to want to come back to ZMAX Drag. We want that experience to be special and make memories that'll last a lifetime. And so it's all those little touches that are kind of who we are. And I think that comes from the top down, well above my head, of taking care of our customers.
Well, very, very cool. Give that ticket information to the WFO audience one more time, March 27th through 29th. First time in March. I'm hoping you guys will be all nice and warm, and spring will come by that point, I'm hoping, but I'll be prepared.
Yeah, it's 65 and sunny today, so we could go racing right now.
Perfect.
But, the weather will turn the corner and here, and I think all the snow's melted away, and traditionally it warms up around this area. We spent a lot of time looking at dates and looking at weather patterns with our friends over at NHRA before we made any decisions. So Customers, the best way to do it is call 1-800-455-FANS. Let one of our staff take care, customize your expenses. We got camping options for you. We got hotel recommendations. We got restaurant recommendations, and they'll just take care of you from start to finish. So 1-800-455-FANS, and we'd love to have you here in a couple weeks.
Let's do it, WFO audience. You know, I'll be there. Christian will be there, and hopefully you will be too. Christian, thanks for coming on WFO Radio. Now, you know, I always have to ask you about what we've seen. What do you think about what we've seen so far in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series? Matt Hagen, domination. We got Drew Skillman, who is, like, ready to win, and he's only raced two races. What has stood out in your mind so far?
I think, it's the parity within some of those classes. Even the fuel classes and Hagen's domination so far. I mean, he's been hard to beat, even with the incident in Pomona and qualifying. But he turns it on, turns the wick up on Sunday, and the team's consistent down the racetrack. I think you're seeing a really competitive top fuel class, and I think Pro Stock is. I love the new blood. I like the storylines out there. It's just great to see somebody in a probably the most competitive class from 1 to 16 go out there and make rounds on Sunday. So I think it's great to have some new personalities out there. I know we have some guys that have never been to ZMAX Dragway before coming to race here in some of the pro categories at the end of the month. So, I'd say the strong teams are extremely strong and consistent, and I think it's a byproduct of this package that they currently have. And you know, hopefully it leads to some spectacular racing when they get to Charlotte at the end of the month. But I'm really looking forward to it. I just think that it's great to see different people win, even though the Hagens won the first two events. It looks like there's a lot of parity out there, and anybody can win any given weekend.
The dream of the perfect season is still alive.
Very true.
Christian, thanks for coming on WFO Radio. I'll see you in a couple weeks. I'm very much looking forward to it, and thanks for sharing it with our audience.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Thank you, Christian. Christian Bird with us here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, and all you first-time listeners. We try to bring you as close to behind the scenes as possible. Hopefully you'll get up there to ZMAX Dragway for the 4-Wide Nationals and hang with us. I will be up there. And past couple of years, we've had a pretty good WFO meet-up, greet-up, tweet-up out there at ZMAX, one of the beautiful tracks out there on the tour, I know. And got a couple of back-to-back ones. Why don't you do the Gainesville ZMAX two-step with us on WFO Radio? I will be at both, so it should be very, very cool. And that's when our winners' editions become a little bit different, because I try to catch up with the racers in the winner's circle, in the actual winner's circle. So be sure to subscribe, and all of you listeners who are checking us out on various new forms, whether it be the Race Day Nation app. Yes, I'm talking to you. You never heard the show before. You clicked on the show. I'm talking to you. I'm going to do this every once in a while, especially in the Ignition show. We really go out of control. And our next segment, Tina Stull, who is a super comp racer in the NHRA, but has really become the leader in the Twitterverse of NHRA personalities. 316,000 Twitter followers she has, because she knows a lot about how to tweet and the way to tweet and Twitter etiquette. Well, a couple of weeks ago, on our WFO Radio Ignition show, which focuses primarily on the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series and Formula One, and we goof around and have fun. It's not a serious program like this is. This is serious interviews with serious drivers. We are more just entertaining ourselves, and we've got a lot of listeners that love it. They just love it. And so we invited a couple of our listeners to battle it out in the Thunderdome for Twitter followers. It was the first ever Twitter Kumite, and you can look up the hashtag. And we invited Tina Stull on to give them some info, some 411 about how to tweet and what does this symbol mean and what to do when. And it went over extremely well. And so we decided to bring Tina back on and answer some questions from WFO Radio listeners. They have been submitted by email and by Twitter, believe it or not. And she's going to answer them. Now, how does this pertain to you, the WFO Radio NHRA Nitro audience? Well, first of all, one of the areas where a lot of people are not getting it done, we were goofing around with Drew earlier, Twitter. It's a great way to connect with your people. They love you. They want to buy your gear. They want to know what's up. They want to go behind the scenes. And a couple of tweets every now and again is the best way to do it. Two, for fans to stay connected, to share information like, oh my goodness, I can't believe how great this WFO Radio NHRA Nitro show is. You've got to check it out. Retweet. Exactly. So she is going to talk about how to maximize your Twitter interactions. It is very informative. If you've ever looked at Twitter and said, oh, I just can't, I don't know what it is, I don't know what kind of sandwich I want to have, give it a listen, because I think she's going to bring a lot of interesting stuff to the table. And then at the tail end of the show, Carly Jo Ellingson is going to join us as we throw the support of the WFO Radio audience behind her. And if you spend some time on the WFO Radio website, there's a lot of new stuff to go to. For instance, of course, we just mentioned Carly Jo Ellingson. You want to know where to vote? We got a link right on the front page. If you want to get your tickets for the Four Wide Nationals at ZMAX Dragway, we got a banner ad right on the front page. We want you to click right through it. Why? They're tracking, of course. So if you're going to get your tickets because of the show, click the banner ad. Do it the appropriate way. Rodak's Coffee and Grills, of course. And you'll see this new banner ad for AmeriLawyer.com, the General Counsel Club. Now, that is a new sponsor on WFO Radio, beginning this week for a while. And when you do the click-through, you will see they are rolling out the red carpet to the WFO Radio audience. I would click it and sign up. Not only are you going to get free 30 days of legal or business advice, but the way I look at it, you're a drag racer. Trademarks, copyrights, agreements, documents. A lot of this stuff needs to be kept straight. You need to have confidence. Check it out. Click that banner ad. Sign up. Get your free 30 days. I think you will really enjoy it. All right. When we come back, Tina Stull, going to give us a Twitter how-to. If you've never thought about Twitter, you might want to do it. She's got a lot of great information. Even if you don't have to broadcast, you just receive the information behind the scenes. I know that Caps is huge in it. Courtney Force is huge in it. The Schumacher, Shoe Racing, John Force Racing. There's a lot of drivers and teams that are heavily involved with Twitter. Clay Milliken, of course. Get in on this. You will like it. Tina Stull coming up next right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. The summer is over. Winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax coffee by going to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or Bang the Blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order, and there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Spiegel & Utrera, PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, converting hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts, legal documents, and more. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad and enter your email address and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera, PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but
I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine, published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Thanks to everybody for checking out the show, and I know many of you have clicked on for the very first time because of a link you found on Twitter. Well, something we have done just a couple of weeks ago here on WFO Radio was the first ever Twitter Kumite, where two of our WFO Radio listeners that by random chance had the same number of Twitter followers, we put them in a contest for one of those great black WFO Radio t-shirts that you can get in the WFO store right now, by the way. And the winner went from 122 followers to 1,400 followers over the course of the contest. And we recognized at that point that Twitter and social media is a huge part of how WFO Radio gets out to the audience, and that many of our listeners use it, whether they be racers, grassroots racers, people who are trying to get their message out. Twitter is a great tool. Well, on WFO Radio Ignition, we invited the queen of Twitter, Tina Stull from Tina Stull Racing, a super comp racer in the NHRA, to come on the Ignition show and give a Twitter how-to. Well, it blew up. It was awesome. Our listeners loved it. And so now for the WFO Radio Nitro audience, that's right, we're having to go back and forth between the two shows to force you people to check out both shows. Joining us now, Tina Stull is back with us. Tina, welcome back.
Thank you very much. So glad to be here.
I'm thrilled because the first Twitter how-to, we did something a long time ago. It's in the archive. But the one we did like 3 weeks ago was so helpful to our audience. And what I think the reason is that since the first time you were on the show last year or even beyond that, so many more people have adopted social media or at very least realized this is something I should investigate, whether it be because they're a grassroots racer or because they're trying to get their word out or to gain information, to follow their favorite racers. A lot more people are on the social media now than even a year ago.
Well, absolutely, because I think the mentality went from Facebook, which was connecting with just friends and people that were that you knew and already had contact with and keeping them up to date, to where Twitter really opened up your audience to people who share interests, share common thought, and it you don't necessarily have to know them in person to friend them and to interact with them.
And so since our audience on the Nitro show is primarily fans of drag racing and they want to hear interviews, but also we have a lot of racers, people that are grassroots racers, bracket racers, people who are out there in their own little world, they bracket race once, twice a week, maybe fewer than that, once a month. Would you recommend having a Twitter account for something like that?
Oh, you know, absolutely. There's so much shared information. Finding out where the local races are, finding out just conditions. I mean, the amazing part to me is that you get end-time information. There have been times at tracks where I'm watching my Twitter because I know people are saying so-and-so has been called to the lanes. And these, you know, organizations, IHRA, NHRA, are beginning to start to see that as an information byline. It's so much better because we're all carrying our cell phones. We've got our, you know, our computers up and all that. a lot of times it's actually easier to communicate through those vehicles than trying to do through, you know, outdated PA systems.
Whoa, whoa, wait, let's not put the announcers out of work just yet.
No. But trust me, if you've ever missed a call, you would have appreciated a tweet. Because it's a nightmare. It's so many facilities where you are not getting necessarily that PA is not, you know, you're half mile from the track.
Absolutely.
So but it is a way of just giving up to date information, sometimes more detailed. You know, I've used my Twitter to be able to send, you know, pictures of my logbook to who needed to see it to help me 20 seconds later. You know, in a panic, you need that open access, and Twitter is very much in time. I know there are a lot of people who are upset because we're listening to live timing and we're tweeting about it while it's happening. What probably some people don't know is you can mute those timelines. So you don't want to hear what the track is announcing, you can mute that timeline so that you don't hear the results. But in an era of we want to know what's happening when it's happening. Who wants to watch the Super Bowl on Monday?
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly not in that class. But, you know, there's a way of controlling your information line to what you want to hear, what you don't want to hear, what other people can hear. And I don't think a lot of people know the finesses of Twitter, and that's why they get a little flustered. If I want to send a message to you, there's a way I can tweet that you and only the people that follow you and I see that message. If I want everybody who follows me to see it, there's another way for me to tweet it. So there's a very, very easy way of controlling how information flows between two people on Twitter that Facebook doesn't offer. I don't know that any other format actually offers as efficiently as Twitter.
All right, we've got some questions from the WFO radio audience, and for those of you out there, Tina has been on the Ignition Show, and her interview is in the archive, so this is pretty much edition two of Twitter How To with Tina Stull, and if you want to follow her on Twitter, it's at Tina Stull Racing, although she doesn't need our help because she has 316,000 Twitter followers, coming up on a third of a million, and we are happy to have her on to put her expertise to work. You would recommend, of course, if you are a track manager or track at all, to set up a Twitter account and blast out that information to your racers, whatever it is, come to the lanes, or we're rained out, or it's not raining, or this is what we're going to do, just as one of your natural channels of communication.
Absolutely.
Very good, very good. All right, I have questions from the WFO audience. They were asked to submit some questions on our previous Twitter how-to with Tina Stull, and here we go. This one coming from Carlos. Carlos wants to know some simple ways to generate followers. Question mark says Carlos.
Easiest way is follow people who follow what you follow. If you like a tweet and retweet it, follow the people who retweet it. Follow the people who favorite it. Find people who like what you like and have interest in what you are interested in. And, you know, there are limits of how many you can. You got, you know, all that. But in general, you know, find like-minded people. A lot of times you can follow when you get added to a list. Follow everybody on that list because somebody thought that you guys had something very much in common.
The list, the whole list side of things. What is the point of that? Should I do it? I have so many things in my life to organize. Should I be worried about organizing my Twitter feed into lists?
Okay, here's my biggest plus for the list. If I'm going to go and want to see the tweets about a race, you can do a search hashtag and pull up tweets. But if I have, like, my trustees, I can put them on a list, and so when it comes time for me to, like, be watching NHRA or watching a race, I can click on that list, and I will see the timelines of all those people who I consider authorities on that particular subject. Then it makes it easy for me to retweet things I agree with, interact with people who are in the same dialogue that I am, especially when you have a list, literally anything over, if you follow more than 1,000 people, it's almost impossible to follow a train of thought.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't take having hundreds of thousands of followers. It can be a very small amount. So it's a very easy way for a person who, you know, for me, I have more interest than just racing. I also do you know, I have other things. So it's like I can put them on a list. So if I'm tweeting on that topic, I can hit that list and go to my trustees, people that I know ahead of time don't tweet radical ideas, or they, you know, they're trusted people. So definitely listing people is helpful, and it's also a way that you can stay connected with people, friends, whatever, that you want to support. You can put them on a list, tweet them, retweet their stuff, and stay connected.
Very cool. Next question coming from the winner of our WFO Radio Twitter Kumite, Rich and Saugus. He wanted to know, what is the best way to manage your timeline when you follow lots of people? Something that he found during the contest was that all of a sudden now, if he's following X amount, he can't see all the tweets that he wants to see, or he's being overwhelmed by tweets. How is that managed? What is the best way to manage that situation when you're following a lot of people?
Well, the first thing you do is you hop on and you hit your mentions button. And that lets you filter through everybody who's actually mentioned you in a tweet or directed a tweet to you. And so you can, like, go through that rather quickly. And then you can go back to your list. So, like, people who you are personally connected to and have shared interests or whatever. And those lists, each one of those lists can be up to 500 people, which is pretty unmanageable by itself. But, like, as a racer, you might be able to tweet to all your buddies who are sportsman racers and be able to, like, get a highlight of everything that's going on in that area. So you can use lists to minimize the amount of tweets you see, and you can also go back to notifications. But I'd always say go to notifications first, because those are the people who are actually asking for your attention or directing something to you.
Next one coming from Ron. Ron wants to know what MT means. He's seen RT for retweet, but what does MT mean?
Well, okay, you actually brought this up, and it's a mentioned tweet or a modified tweet, I think you said, and it's, I guess, an indication that somebody has taken the tweet, slightly modified it, sometimes maybe because of the number of characters, they might have shortened words, used, you know, hyphenations, whatever, but it's not the original tweet, but it has the same content. And I'll tell you, anytime you see somebody who's modified a tweet, you want to always double check the link, because links can be switched out. Not to say if you know the person who the content's coming from and trust it, you're fine. But I've had it where I've tweeted something and I retweeted it thinking it's a consistent retweet. Somebody's changed out the link to go to their, you know, to a different source. For their own benefit. So I would just always say, anytime somebody asks you to retweet it, before you do, double check the link, because they may or may not be, without understanding, they might be retweeting something they didn't intend to retweet. And, content comes same back to, you know, you get so many requests for, I have a great organization that's raising money, blah, blah, blah. If you're not willing to put your checkbook on the line, never retweet it. You know, always check out that source.
Right. Oh, I got one of those not long ago. Was like, oh my gosh, you know, we're dying right now. Help us.
Yeah.
And I fished around and I did what I deemed to be some pretty good detective work. And at the end, the conclusion that I came to on my own was that it was a scam. And so,
right.
You know, if it's not,
and
hey, I'm sorry. But it sure seemed like one.
If you spent your time getting the trust of the people who follow you, when you retweet it, you're putting all that online. And it's like, it's a huge burden. And sometimes I feel like I'm a grumpy mask, because it's like somebody just wants a retweet for their Girl Scout group. But unless I'm able to actually double check it, I don't know. And it's like, when people do something, I say, you know, very rarely I'll say, follow my friend or do something like that. It's because I know that person, I'm willing to vouch for them, and I don't take that lightly. And I think in the long run, if you want to have a good reputation on Twitter, you need to take that very seriously, because people in the long run do pay attention to that.
I view it not unlike the radio audience. Respect the audience, and you can't try to promote snake oil to them and then have them come back and listen to you. Because
Absolutely.
you're putting in jeopardy your own credibility. Here's one.
And that's what That's why you've been around for as long as you've been around.
I guess. I guess that is the reason. At the end of the day, it turns out that way. Here's one. Can you overtweet your business, or is the Twittersphere truly like radio where your audience is constantly changing through the day? That is a great question coming from Lonnie. If you've got a message and you tweet it out a couple of times during the day, the same message in a different way, is that a bad thing? Because I know you've got some people that are, like, they follow 10 people and one of them is you and you've hit them now 10 times, and there are other people that you're not showing up in their timeline the first time, but maybe they get it later on in the day. What's a good strategy for that? Thanks, Lonnie.
Here would be my best on that. We all know when we're being duped. We don't necessarily know it, can't prove it, whatever, but we can feel it. When you over-tweet a message and it feels like it's automated, people will pick up on that, period, because it doesn't fit the time of day. It doesn't fit the mood of Twitter. Twitter is a cocktail party. It's not a radio station. And that's where a lot of people go wrong, is that Twitter has a mood. You can tell when people are in the mood to laugh. There, people can be in the mood to be more serious. Something's happened on the news, and you see an immediate response on Twitter. So when people try to automate it or to shortcut, it shows up. And I've seen great companies take a tank because they didn't know that 15 minutes ago a beloved member of whatever had something horrible happen, and they're tweeting along like it's, you know, Happy Tuesday. It's those disingenuous tweets become disingenuous, and they will show up. And if it doesn't happen this week, it'll happen next. So I have always been absolutely been adamant against all auto tweets, which I have changed my opinion on. In certain cases, it's okay, especially when it comes to schedules or you know, you're giving out basic information. But if you're trying to look like you're trying to interact with people, do not use auto tweet.
Right. You know what? It makes perfect sense. I of course, and for the WFO audience, Tina has been real helpful just answering questions for you folks and getting people to understand Twitter. The first time I started my own account, I just looked at the thing and I didn't get it. I put it on the shelf for a while. And then slowly over time, I brought it out, by the way, at WFO Joe. But what you're saying is interesting because we tweet out, we automate a lot of our interview tweets. Like, hey, Matt Hagen was on the show. Matt Hagen was on the show. Right. And there are people in Australia using Twitter at a different, when I'm sleeping, but I put together a tweet for those people. But if, you know, nuclear weapons are going off somewhere in the world and then my tweet comes out, hey, Matt Hagen, I can understand how that might fall flat.
Well, typically I say if it's a scheduling thing, they're automated or okay, because people expect that, and they kind of depend on it. They get to a point where I don't have to remember, they'll remind me. But when it comes to people trying to retweet original content, they're trying to retweet things that are appearing to be natural, that's where they get in trouble, because it's very hard to dictate. It's the same thing as, like, if somebody came to you and said, what do I say at a cocktail party? And you try to give them the dialogue. Hello, how are you? I'm very fine. Da, da. If a person isn't compensating based off of that thing, it's going to come off very robotic. And unfortunately, that's what most automated tweets. But for a business where they're reminding you, the show comes on in 15 minutes, da, 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 those kind of things are very acceptable.
Excellent, excellent. Now, this past week, something happened in the world that I wonder... how many people were able to avoid it? I wasn't. My brain still hurts. And it was the hashtag the dress, with the dress that went around the world and everybody talked about what color was. And it was actually very interesting because half the people saw two colors and the other half of the people saw different colors. It was a very interesting thing. But our next question is from John, and he wants to know about creating hashtags. Like, can you create a hashtag and send it out there, or is it just something that happens naturally?
Well, creating hashtags can be very, to just say basically, anytime you do a hashtag, you are requiring somebody to give up that number of characters. So, like, for NHRA, this is a personal peeve, is that they'll go NHRA and they'll try to include the weekend that they're racing. NHRA Pomona. They've just stolen that number of characters from everybody who was tweeting it. why anybody would need to tweet specifically versus just generally NHRA, which would have been fine. They have not increased their searchability. They've decreased it. So they've actually restricted the number of people who are going to see their tweets because we didn't get the stupid hashtag correctly. And I can't tell you how many people I saw that couldn't spell Pomona. So you look and you go, when you do a hashtag, think, am I increasing my audience or am I decreasing an audience? Say you're tweeting about, I am at a pub and I just had the best, beer of my life, and you hashtag it beer. Everybody who's interested in beer will see your tweet. So you've increased your audience a huge amount, especially if you have, like, say, a couple hundred followers. So anytime using a hashtag can be very beneficial, but just remember that you always want to make it an inclusive versus a exclusive hashtag. You want to include more people to see it versus less. So by being more specific, you are actually alienating a large group.
Final question for at Tina Stull. Does that bother you that your first name is now at? Not just you, but a lot of people.
You know what? I'm just glad people can find me in general because, you know, I'm in a, you know, we got great races, we got huge races. Why anybody would actually be able to find me, I'm honored. And, you know, I have to laugh because, you know, I'm just me. I love what I do. I love racing. I love, you know, a ton of different interests out there. So I'll take, if they can find me, I'm totally happy with it.
Well, it seems to be working. 316,000 questions, but this is the final one here. This one coming from Mike, you know, how do you turn off your following? Meaning, can you truly be yourself in all of your tweets, or should you fear tweeting the wrong thing? So this sounds like a judgment, personal judgment question.
You know what? I would say in general, and it's a little bit different because we're talking about people who race and have sponsors and we're concerned about that. You need to think about it the same way that you are when you're out in public. It's not that you need to shut off who you are, but just like everything that comes out of your mouth, you need to think twice about sometimes what you're feeling or what you're thinking. The tricky part about Twitter is not whether or not your thoughts are wrong, but can you give your position in 140 characters? Because if it takes you two or three tweets to explain why you're tweeting what you're tweeting, you're going to be taken out of context. So it's always about the context. So there is a time where you look and you think, I can't give my position on why I'm going to say this, that you probably need to show a little restraint. But there are, you know, there are plenty of times where, you know, our media sometimes wants us to say, you can't have an opinion because we're going to blast you. An example was a couple years ago, I was mad that I think it was Target was saying you couldn't say Merry Christmas, you had to say Happy Holidays. And I tweeted about that, and I said, you know, I'm going to lose followers, but I don't care. You know, if I'm going to say Merry Christmas, I'm going to say Merry Christmas. If you don't like it, you know, just unfollow me. And I picked up 4,000 followers overnight. So I think people appreciate at times willing to take a stand and say something that's maybe not 100% PC, but you also have to make sure that what you're going to stand for, you're willing to stand up and do that, not have it be taken out of context. And because there are always trolls out there that are, you know, they're going to attack with just the slightest, you know, saying it wrong. And I guess, addressing trolls is probably a whole other topic, but I have a lot of thoughts on that because, you know, with 6 years of experience, I found, you know, there are some trolls that can really make your life miserable.
Well, it seems we just saw recently Keith Olbermann got taken off the air because of a Twitter battle he had, which at the end of it, you know, who knows what exactly he was thinking? We don't know, but what we do know is what he tweeted. And you can read it and you can try to guess, and anytime you leave open context, right, like you're saying, then you have the potential to get in trouble. That's why they need to be short and defined. What about using some of these other services, you know, Tumblr or your blog, you tweet a link? I guess that would be the thing. If you've got like a really long thing that you want to tweet out, you should just put a blog post up and then tweet the link to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Blogs are a wonderful way of, you know, defining opinions and being able to give the full story. I mean, I think, honest to God, Mike Rowe is one of the best ones out there. He, you know, he gets attacked a lot. People don't like what he says or whatever. Yet he's so eloquent, and yet it takes a blog where you have the ability to really write it out. For me, I'm not a big writer. I mean, you might as well give me homework and tell me I'm back in school. So I, you know, I try to keep things concise with, you know, either imagery or, you know, and that is one of the things with Twitter you can do is, like, if you can't verse it all out in a 140-character thing, find an image that represents everything that you want to tell. And, you know, images by far communicate more than any words can. And you'll find that, you know, for guys who are trying to, like, increase the amount of traffic on their thing, every tweet that involves an image will increase interaction by about 50%. So
we've seen that fact here on WFO. That is for sure. And if you follow at WFO Radio, you'll see that we're trying now to include photographs and images with everything. By the way, that Mike Rowe is from Dirty Jobs and from Somebody's Got to Do It. He's just doing Ford commercials for a while. If you do not know who Mike Rowe is, American television actor. Thank you very much, Wikipedia. Tina, this has been great. I greatly appreciate it. I feel like I am watching a sport. When I say that, I mean auto racing in general, and more specifically, drag racing at this moment, that everybody wants attention and everybody wants to grow, and we all love it and we know how cool it is, but not everybody is doing everything that they could be doing to actually grow. They love playing with the cars. Who doesn't? And they love racing. Who doesn't? But if you're a driver and you want to interact with your fans and you want to do the best by your sponsor, I really think Twitter is a big part of it. And the more we speak with you, it proves true. I greatly appreciate you coming on and giving your knowledge, because it's something that it does look intimidating at first. I have to admit, when you first log on there, you see all these symbols and letters and you want to know what it is, and your sandwich that you just ate. Should I tweet a picture of it? I don't know. You're helping us cut through the nonsense, and so I greatly appreciate that.
Well, thank you. I you know, anytime. This is a love of mine. So almost as much fun as racing, but not quite.
Not exactly. I see racers. Right. You know, they got 200 Twitter followers, and they're out there on the track every weekend in a pro series. And I say to myself, well, they're not trying. They're not putting effort into it.
No.
It's also a generational thing. We have to understand that there are some people that just are not going to get this, and that, you know, it's a generational thing. Tina, I want to thank you for coming on WFO Radio for Twitter How-To with Tina Stull, at Tina Stull Racing. You can follow her and see what it's all about. We are going to select and be selecting in the next week or two our next two contestants for the next WFO Twitter Kumite, and that is a hashtag that is out there. And it will be interesting to see how they put your advice to work to try to win themselves a WFO Radio T-shirt. Now, Tina, before you go, I've got something I want to run by you. You were the runner-up in the team champion contest last year. You got all the way to the final round, and WFO was you know, doing our best to help out. You got all the way to the final round. We've got a new young contestant this year named Carly Jo Ellingson. She has reached out to us for the support of the WFO Radio audience. We're going to be interviewing her on the show not long from now. How was your experience with the team champion deal, getting down to the final round? And did you think it was helpful for the WFO Radio audience to be pushing along?
Well, I tell you, definitely having the support of y'all was huge. I'll tell you, it's a nerve-wracking. I'd rather go through 10 final rounds than go through what she's going through now. It is a tough thing. It's so hard. She's got so much going. I've been a supporter of hers from the very beginning and been, you know, trying to push some support her way. But I'll tell you, it's difficult. These things are, man, like I said, first round, I'd rather take it 10 times over. I give her all the luck, and I hope that we can push her through. And, you know, Champion, awesome company, awesome product, and I just hope that they realize how awesome she is.
Well, we will find out. She's going to be on the show in just a few minutes. Tina, thank you very much once again for Tina Stahl Racing. Twitter how-to. It has been very helpful to me, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks so much.
Tina Stahl with us here on WFO Radio, a.k.a. at Tina Stahl Racing. And I guess that's the way it works, is once you become big on Twitter, at becomes your first name, and you just become your handle. For the WFO audience, I know our Ignition audience is embracing Twitter more and more. I love it because it helps share the show. That is our primary vehicle for promotion. We would love to have a monster budget, and you got billboards out there and the flying a banner plane around the national events and all that stuff. But in actuality, for us, a digital show that is really a link, Twitter is the best. And our WFO audience members are retweeting the show, just sharing it with their friends. Who is better to deliver our message than actual listeners to their friends who are just one click away? They just click the link and it will play on their mobile device. That is our plan. That is how we market ourselves. So for Tina to come on the show and help all of you who just listened understand Twitter better, it helps us. That's why we're doing it, of course. And who does it help? Of course, it helps me do the show, but it helps every driver that you hear on the show. And it helps every sponsor that pays those drivers to advertise. And of course, it helps the sport of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing by letting every fan get to know every driver a little bit better. That's why we do the show. That is the reason. And I know for the past couple of weeks, we've had some interesting subject matter and a lot of feedback from people at the tail end of the show. I'm going to give a couple of more thoughts on this whole Street Outlaws situation. But first, we got to meet Carly Jo Ellingson, who is looking for that $50,000 Team Champion sponsorship. 2 years ago, it was the Mihalik brothers, Corey and Kyle. Guess what? They won. Last year, Tina made it all the way to the final round and lost by a whisker. This year, WFO Radio is going to be supporting Carly Jo Ellingson. You want to get to know her? So do I. When we come back, we're going to speak with Carly Jo. We'll be back after this on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's funny car champ, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. Or visit frankhawley.com.
Get ready, race fans. March 27th through the 29th, the NHRA Speed Demons are back at Z-Max Dragway. It's four wide and double the power. The four wide nationals are going to rock your world. See John Force, Antron Brown, Ron Capps, and Courtney Forrest blister the Z-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. Get your tickets today to the most powerful drag race on the planet. Kids 13 and under are free, and every ticket's a pit pass. Don't wait. Call 1-800-455-FANS.
Hey, race fans, this is Joe Costello here to tell you about Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. The summer is over. Winter is coming. Make sure you can wake up every day in the cold winter with a cup of Rodax Coffee by going to Rodax Coffee and Grills.com or give him a call. Marvin Rodak, a big WFO radio listener, NHRA fan down there in Fort Worth, Texas, 817-924-6821. They have got over 40 single original coffees to choose from, plus custom special blends like WFO Radio Blend or bang the blower. It's what everybody's talking about. Get some for yourself. All specialty grade coffee represents the top 5% of coffee grown in the world. They're all roasted fresh per order. And there are limited edition seasonal and rare micro lots of coffee available. They've got exotics like Sumatra Kopi Luwak, Panama Geisha, Australia, the Hawaii Kona coffee. They've got it all. Get on the phone, 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
WFO radio t-shirts are now available. Wear your WFO with pride. Supplies are limited. Click WFO Store to order yours today.
Hey, race fans. First, you need to know I'm not an attorney at Spiegel & Utrera PA. Spiegel & Utrera PA's General Counsel Club can assist you with tough legal and business questions at crucial times. And right now, from New York City to Los Angeles, Chicago to Miami, and points in between, WFO radio listeners can receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. They can assist with trademarks and copyrights, how to convert hobby expenses into legitimate business expenses, how to buy or sell a business, contracts and legal documents. Click the AmeriLawyer.com banner ad right on the front page of WFO Radio, enter your email address, and receive a 30-day free membership in the Spiegel & Utrera PA General Counsel Club. And remember, knowledge is power. Can we call you Nine Time?
Absolutely. And I like hearing it. You call me as many times as you want.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Final segment here on WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. One of those weeks, we got a couple of weeks where we are getting ready for the Amalie Motor Oil NHRA Gator Nationals, the East Coast opener. Gives us a great opportunity to delve into other areas of the world that we don't normally, like our Twitter how-to with Tina Stahl. How cool was that? And if you've been listening to this show for a long time, you know that in each of the past couple of years, we have backed a contestant in the Champion Spark Plugs Always a Champion Search for a Champion contest. 2 years ago, it was the Mihalik brothers. And sure enough, they went out there last year and won a fuel at the Four Wide Nationals at ZMAX Dragway. Last year, it was Tina Stahl from Tina Stahl Racing. She went all the way to the final. So, here in 2015, who's it going to be? Well, after an exhaustive search for the right candidate for WFO Radio to back, we have decided to throw our power, as much as there is, whatever it is, behind Carly Jo Ellingson. She is 20 years old. She's a Super Pro and Pro ET bracket racer from Rapid City, South Dakota. She was selected as a finalist, and she joins us now. Carly Jo, welcome to WFO Radio. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you doing?
I am very well and excited to be talking with you. Now, your name is Carly Jo Ellingson. How would you like to be referred to as? Carly, Carly Jo, Carly Jo, you know, CJE, what do you want us to refer to you as?
Oh, you can call me Carly Jo. That's kind of what my racing family refers to me as, so that would be a kind of normal for me, so.
All right, so we got Carly Jo. How did you get started in racing? Obviously, we're going to tell everybody what to do and where to go and what to click and what to check out, but we want to get to know you first. How long have you been racing? You're only 20 years old. How long have you been doing this?
Well, I've been racing since I was 9 years old. I think it was about the week after my 9th birthday that I was finally behind the wheel of a race car. I found out about drag racing after watching the premiere of a Disney Channel movie called Right on Track, which I think you're probably familiar with.
The Erica Enders movie, of course. So you are exactly what we thought would happen after watching the movie.
Well, I guess. But, yeah, I watched the movie, and it was really only a couple months after watching the movie, and, well, I watched it, like, every night before bed. But, yeah, I watched it a ton, and it was only a couple months when I was behind the wheel. And as cheesy as that it sounds, it was a really sudden thing. My first pass, I knew it was where I was meant to be. It sparked a fire in me that really only grew over the years, you can say. So.
Wow. Now, have you met Erica and talked about the movie at all? Have you had that opportunity?
I did. A couple years ago at Bandimere Speedway, I got the opportunity to meet her, and I talked to her for a little bit. I was pretty nervous because, you know, she's my inspiration. She's the reason I'm racing. But she was awesome, really personable, and she was very, very supportive and encouraging. So she's an awesome gal.
So you raced, what was it, junior dragsters for a while?
Yep, I raced junior dragsters from 2003 to 2011, and then in 2012, I moved up to Pro ET class in Division 5. So, yeah.
Pro ET running off the bottom, no delay boxes, that kind of stuff. And then you were able to move up to Super Pro. Tell me about that. Cars are getting faster. How was the competition, and were you able to win some races?
Yeah, the competition's really stiff there, and really in both classes. I do run both, but in Super Pro, I don't use a box or anything, so it's just me and the tranny brake. But I ended up going to the finals a couple times, and I got a first-place win, actually my first time out in the Super Pro class in 2014, this past year. So,
wow, that is very off the bottom. You're racing against racers with delay boxes, and you're just going off the bottom with a trans brake?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is impressive. Now, are you choosing to do that for a reason, or are you just generally against the idea of a delay box? Or people who don't follow this kind of racing, who are fans of the Mellow Yellow series, who might be listening to Carly Jo, she is choosing to do it in a way that is more difficult against people who are using a delay box off the top and having success. That's really impressive.
Mm-hmm. My team and I have kind of decided that we just don't really want to mess with the delay box. It seems a little bit more work than it would be worth since I already cut really good lights just doing the tranny brake. So just using the power that I got.
Wow, very cool, very impressive, and definitely interesting. Now, where is your home track? I know you're from South Dakota, but where do you spend the most of your time when you are racing locally?
We race a lot at Ahwahee Speedway in Pierre, South Dakota, but the first track that I raced at was in Sturgis, South Dakota, and we still make it there quite a bit. I also have raced a lot over the years at Douglas Motorsports Park in Douglas, Wyoming, and we've raced at national events at Bandimere Speedway in Colorado as well.
I got to go there last year for the very first time, and it lived up to everything I had heard. Just a tremendous facility, and the people. It's always the people that make any place from good to great, and the Bandimere family was just incredible. I can't say enough about it. There were 146 video entries submitted in this year's Search for a Champion contest, and you have been narrowed down to one of the 15 finalists, which is great stuff, but now you want to advance to that next round where somebody is going to win a $50,000 grand prize from Champion Spark Plugs. What would that mean to you, and what would you do if that was you?
Oh, man. Well, just getting for being a finalist, I was awarded a $5,000 sponsorship. And just having that, that's the biggest sponsorship I've ever had. So that's huge. We're definitely going to do more traveling, after being awarded that sponsorship. But if we were to get the $50,000, we would definitely do a lot more traveling, make it to some divisionals, hopefully some national events, and our setup would just be a million times better. I'm so excited for this opportunity.
Now, where can our listeners go to see your video submission and tell us how it works? We do this once a year, and we totally forget, and we need to be instructed on where to go and what to do. I know there is a brief login. Folks, it's super easy. You can vote, I believe, every day, but give us the particulars, Carly Jo.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people that have been voting for me throughout the first round and throughout the first week of the grand prize voting round they choose to go through Facebook. You can log in with Facebook. You'll just have to create a voting account. You'll give us your name, your email address, you do a password, and then you'll give us some information about yourself so you can possibly win some swag. They call it swag. You can win T-shirts and hats, and they'll send them to you, but you just create that voting account.
Super easy, by the way, folks. Super easy.
Yeah, it's super easy. I choose to go just straight through championsparkplugs.com. One way that you can go is alwaysachampion.com, and the same deal. You'll just create a voting account and vote one time every day, and hopefully I will have that vote.
Wow, that is super cool. Of course, your video is up there, checking out your cool Mustang. Now, the car looks like it's evolving. It looks like it's getting quicker from some of the photos that we see in your video from when you started to now. Tell us about the performance of your car.
Well, actually, the car has been in my family for quite a few years. My dad bought it when he was a sophomore in high school, and he's had it all that time. It just kind of sat in our driveway. It had like flat tires and everything. It was kind of a rat rod, you could say, but the winter of 2011, we started working on it, making it a drag car. That had kind of been my dad's vision ever since I started racing junior dragsters, and we got it done, got it racing in 2012. It runs about, well, it started out in the 10-second range in the quarter mile, but we got it down to 960 when I was licensing.
Wow.
So it's going to be a quick car, and it is throttle-stopped right now, so it's got a little bit more power. The engine builder estimated it having about 900 horse.
Oh, wow. You're making a lot of power. Now, what year is that car?
It's a 70.
70, and that's a notchback?
Yeah.
Neat. Very, very cool.
Oh, sorry. Coupe.
Oh, okay, the Ford fans go crazy out there. And what class would you see yourself running? Super gas or super street?
Super gas. That's what I'm licensed in, actually.
Wow, very, very cool. We have got our contestant here in 2015, Carly Jo Ellingson. Now, when does the voting end? It is already underway. It started February 24th. Looks like it ends March 24th. So we've got a little bit of time here. These people are going to need to be voting every day.
Yes. I really need as much support as I can get. I know I have a really good crew behind me already, but the more support, the better.
Wow, very good. And what about WFO Radio, Carly Jo? How did you, when you crunched the numbers and realized that, hey, this is these guys have got finalists the first 2 years, finalists.
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty good rep.
Yep, definitely. And I was actually informed of that through a couple of the racers that race at my home track. So you reach out to a broad spectrum of people.
Who knew? You know, that is great. That, listen, we are working hard to reach a lot of racers out there, and they always say when you do this broadcasting thing, you never know who is actually out there listening, and that has proven to me all the time. People tell me they listen, and it shocks me, it blows me away, but we are happy to put our support behind you. Folks, go to Always a Champion or search for a champion. You can check out the link. It'll be on our social media at WFO Radio. Now, speaking of social media, we just had last year's runner-up at Tina Stull Racing on to give us a Twitter how-to. Do you use Twitter? Are you on the social media?
I do, and I am Twitter friends with Tina, actually, and I'm also Twitter friends with I think it's called the Mihalik brothers. Is that how you pronounce it?
Mihalik, yes, but it's Mihalik, spelled Mihalik, but it's pronounced Mihalik, yes.
Yep, I'm Twitter friends with them. I use Instagram as well and Facebook.
And what is your hashtag on Twitter? Since we just got everybody all warmed up into Twitter, they're all ready to go tweet. Where can they find you?
It's #TeamChampion, and my Twitter username is @ C.J. Ellingson.
C.J. Elling's son. That's important to get that right. And look at you hashtagging the team champion, which is very, very important. And I am going to follow you at this moment. What is that, a cat? It looks like a black cat. Look at that.
Yep, that's my kitty.
There you go. See, we're all connected. And there you have it. Carly Jo, we wish you good luck. Of course, as part of the WFO support, this is not your last appearance. We're going to have to check in with you as it's going along, get updates to keep the audience motivated, to help you out along the way. Please reach out and let me know how things are going, whether we need to crack the whip a little bit on the audience. They love voting. And they're on Facebook, so this shouldn't be a problem. We're going to try to send 3 years' worth of contestants in a row to the final round. It should be very interesting. And look at you, 2,927 followers. And how many do I have? Yeah, not that many. That is the answer. So I got some work to do. You can send me some followers. How about that?
Sure.
There you go.
I'm going to tweet about this right when we're done.
Awesome. I'll always include the link. I always tell the people when you tweet about WFO, be sure to include the link. I have 2,213, mm-hmm. So I'm catching up. I'm coming off the stop, chasing you down. Carly Jo, thanks for coming on WFO Radio. We're going to do all we can. We greatly appreciate you coming on. And the folks at your local track who sent the shout out about us, we thank them too. Let's see if we can make it 3 years in a row.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Carly Jo, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carly Jo. Carly Jo Ellingson, the WFO Radio candidate. Well, she's her own candidate. We're just supporting her. In the Team Champion contest, you can click the link right on the front page of WFOradio.com to vote for her. It works real easy. You just click in via Facebook. And in fact, if you voted for Tina and the Mihalik brothers, my stuff is still saved. And so I just click right through, and you vote every day, and we push her to victory, and she wins. And we'll have her back on. Boy, what a show. What a show. If you've got to this point, folks, you must really like WFO Radio or be very bored. Either way, we like it and appreciate it. There's been a lot going on this program, in fact. Talked with Reinhardt, Points Meet, Gainesville, our Street Outlaws feedback. Thanks to you guys for the caller who I edited his call dramatically, just in the interest of time. Chris Caramassini's. In the archive. Check it out. I think it was last year. But yeah, absolutely. I want to talk to the Greek. I want to talk to the Greek as much as the Greek wants to talk to me. But I feel like, the guy's got stuff. I don't want to bother him is really the answer. There are some people, if you listen to the Drag Illustrated Q&A, which I highly recommend you go on dragillustrated.com, check it out. They did it was awesome interview with me about my thoughts for Lucas Oil Series racers or sportsman racers or grassroots racers. But one of the questions they asked me was, who have I not interviewed that I wanted to? And the answer was Connie Coletta, because I would love to get Connie on the phone and talk to him about a lot of stuff. Frankly, Connie's a little intimidating, but also super busy. And I know that this guy definitely has other things going. And the Greek has got other things going. I don't want to interrupt this dude. He's been on the show, incidentally. And there are so many other personalities out there that we want to get involved in. Now, I did promise, I did say, it wasn't necessarily a big promise, but that I would give some thoughts here at the tail end of the show. This is my time. And the Ignition Show is also my time. The rest of the show I devote to everybody else, especially our sponsors. How about our new sponsor, AmeriLawyer.com? Right on the front page, click it. Free legal advice, fast. You can't miss the ad. Click that. And the rest is self-explanatory. They're going to be on with us for a while. And my thought has always been that racers are business owners. They're entrepreneurs. If you have the entrepreneurial spirit, you can get a lot out of it. There's a lot of benefit to it. If you're designing logos and you want a copyright, if you have something you want to trademark, a lot of great stuff that can come out of it. And I've been working with the folks from Spiegel & Utrera PA for a long time. And so check it out. That is great stuff. Also, the WFO Radio Store, Gainesville's coming up. Going to be out there, East Coast opener. How about everybody rocking their WFO Radio gear, the black T-shirts? They're flying off the shelves. People absolutely love them. Get yourself a black WFO Radio T-shirt. The logo is just out of control. It's awesome. And a lot of people have been getting them. If you require 2X, I would move fast. The supplies are limited. And, of course, Rodex Coffee and Frank Hawley and everybody who has stepped up over the years. Folks at Competition Plus to help WFO Radio, we greatly appreciate it. We're experiencing a growth spurt, I would call it, here at the start of 2015. People listening to the program, understanding what we're trying to do, very least we're good-natured people who like cars, and we want to expose the personalities in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. Four Wide Nationals, be there too. Wear your WFO gear. And get your tickets by clicking the banner ad on WFOradio.com. All right, that's all my stuff. Now I can get into this whole, the conclusion of the Street Outlaws conversation. All right, here's where we're at. Cars on a track in a straight line. See, that's not even it. Cars on a surface in a straight line racing each other. Whatever that is. Does it have marketability? Does it have entertainment value? That is the question. And this whole, whatever you want to call it, brouhaha or controversy or whatever, it's an opportunity. And what I'm giving you now on the Nitro Show is very often what I go into on the Ignition Show. The Nitro Show is where we interview drivers in the NHRA, and they are all successful, and they have their own businesses, and they have done well for themselves over the years. And very often, when you are successful, you get into this routine, and nothing can or will or should shake you out of it. But we heard a couple of our callers weigh in. They listen to the show, so they love NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing. You don't accidentally listen to WFO radio. That's why we are a different form of programming. It's not an accident. You don't just flip it on by mistake. The people that are here in the final segment, whoever you are extremely devout, diehard NHRA listeners. You want everything. You're listening to what I have to say after all the big stars are gone. So this is great. This is where I can cover a lot of ground. Now, on the Ignition Show, it's the same thing. I do a lot of this. People need to think about what is right with Street Outlaws. We now already know what is wrong. What is wrong is that they are portraying two cars on a surface racing against each other, illegally maybe. That is easy to change. But what is right about it? Well, let's start off. What is right about it? The first thing that is right about it is the people that are on the show are real. Even though it's a reality show and it's scripted, as far as we know, they come across as genuine. You know, are the results of the races scripted? I don't know. Could you tell me for certainty that you know that the outcome of the races are not scripted? You don't know. And neither do I. But it doesn't even matter, because the guys and girls on there are who they act like they are. I mean, who wears flip-flops in the race shop by any means anyway? Seems kind of unsafe. Nowadays, in our modern culture, people respect people's genuine nature. They don't like the professional guy putting on a professional face, rattling off a list of sponsors. They reject that. They like someone acting real being real. Okay. Well, that's a whole lot of money's worth of market research that we just figured out right there. So how can a driver in a professional class of the NHRA utilize that piece of information to their advantage? Well, when you're doing your post-race interview, be real. Are you angry? Why are you angry? What happened? Did that guy hang you out? He hung you out on the starting line? Call him out. Yes, call him out. Put it out there. Put him or her on the spot. The worst case scenario isn't that big a deal. Now, I have heard, and a lot of people, and we heard Alan at the start of the show say, you know, the sponsors control that. And I understand that the sponsors do control a lot of these things. And the people who know that their sponsors are going to have a problem, maybe they shouldn't do it. And the people who know that their sponsors are going to be cool with it, they need to do it. But somebody needs to do something. Two, the cars have names. Every car on the show has a name. Everybody knows the persona of the individual and the persona of the car. The farm truck, the crow, the murder Nova, et cetera, and so on. You know, if you watch a show more than me, you know more of the names. They all have a name. Everybody's got a name. There's a name everywhere. All kinds of names. They're selling T-shirts like mad. And that is not proprietary. Any driver in the NHRA at any time could choose to name their car. They choose not to. They come up with an excuse. They throw their hands in the air. Now, they have a reason. Well, my sponsor won't let me. Is that the truth? Yes. So your sponsor won't let you be who you are, be the genuine person you are, and your sponsor will not let you name your car. That's correct. Okay. That's fine. But the racers who have a sponsor who is okay with it, who gets it, who understands what's going on, that the Monster Jam Monster Trucks are all about the names. Grave Digger, Metal Militia, etc. and so on. My four-year-old nephew knows every name of every monster truck, every one. Naming a Nitro Funny Car is a little bit different because it's a corporate entity. It's a corporate entity. People generally have a negative reaction to corporate entities, period. Trying to sell me something. Ugh. Name your car. If you're a driver and you have the latitude to do it, name your car. Put it out there. Go with it. You know who is doing this? Is Cruz Pedregon. With El Guapo and El Chingon. The only problem with what Cruz has done is you can barely see it. It's tiny. It's teeny tiny on the back of the car. Now, Snap-on pays for the real estate. So Snap-on gets the real estate. Would Snap-on get more attention if there was something else on the car to draw the eye? And this is the calculus that we have to come up with. Now, I want everybody to know this is just my opinion, and my opinion is not related to anyone else's opinion. These opinions are my own. But I think it's cool when there's something else to look at on the car that's sponsored by who? Oh, them. Oh, that's cool. But after a while, all the logos kind of fade into each other. They're all together. All these logos. They're all out there. Logos. What's different about them? Nothing. There needs to be something. Don't believe me? Well, on this TV show that's real popular, getting 3 million viewers now, breaking records, every one of their cars has a name. So how about copy it? That's right. A wise man once told me, success leaves tracks. Drag racing had success. Drag racing, in many ways, got away from it. The corporations, the sponsors, everybody became, you heard our callers, not my words, theirs. Sponsor dropping robots. I want to thank my sponsors and my crew's working real well and they're doing a good job and everything is real tough and we're too and tough and that team over there is really tough and we're having a good time and it's really good. Buy our stuff. Yeah, good luck. That's not going to work. Meanwhile, these dudes on TV, they're doing what they want, saying what they want, acting how they want, and they have ratings. Three, the drivers. Drivers matter. One thing about this show is you can see and hear these drivers working out on the gas, off the gas. On there, can't get this guy called in earlier. He said those cars are hooked up. They're never hooked up. And I think that's what people like. I think people like the fact that these guys are all over the place. It's not that they're on the streets. It's not that they're going to crash in a cornfield and end up with a corn cob lodged in their throat. It's not that they're going to jump the curb and, oh my gosh, are they going to hit a telephone pole and wrap around it? I think it's they like these guys are turning the wheel. These guys are on and off the gas. Maybe that's the secret to the no prep. Maybe that's why everybody likes it. They like the driver to actually have something to do with it as opposed to the foot is on the floor and if the chassis connects to the track, then it's a good run. But if the chassis does not connect to the track, then you lose. If that's what we're talking about, we can copy that too. Let's get it on. Let's think of some examples of what classes that might be like that. Pro Modified, and is Pro Modified popular? Yeah, let's think about it. Yes! People like the drivers to have to be a factor for things other than reaction time. These are all lessons that I have learned doing research, studying, opposition research. I don't consider the TV show Opposition. I consider it a show that I watch, and these are notes that I wrote down. I go in depth on these things because I think that in every aspect of it, what is it, Sun Tzu, Know Your Enemy? They're not the enemy, but they are opposition research. They're doing something. Some of the things are right. They got 3 million people tuning in. What is it that people like? Well, there's a couple of factors. Next, fewer personalities mean more time to get to know each personality. This is a really tough part about it. They have a show they can focus in on this guy and what his character is like and what he's doing and what makes him laugh and what makes him cry and goofy things that he did. And, of course, they're creating stuff, like written down things that they put in their people through, whereas NHRA drivers are competitors, and so it's totally different. But at the same time, any NHRA driver should know that when the camera is on you, this is your very extremely teeny tiny limited opportunity to show the people through the camera on the other side, however many there are, that you're funny or you're cool or you got something to say, you got something interesting going on. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with that time? Are you going to just waste it? Because most of them waste it. Most of them just go into like a pre-canned routine, you know, well, you know, it was a good run and I didn't know what was going on. The reason John Force is so popular, there's a lot of people, it's shocking to me, but they hate John Force. They hate him. They hate him. They hate him because he gets all the coverage. The reason he gets all the coverage is because people love him. It's weird, right? Why do people love him? Well, number one, he won all the time. You couldn't avoid him. So you got to know him. You got to know that the guy was out there, that he said outlandish things. He saw Elvis. He was on fire. Outlandish things. People like that stuff. So they got to like him. And he won all the time. He got a lot of air time. Well, we got a whole bunch of drivers. We got 16 in three different classes in the Mellow Yellow Series, four when the bikes are running. That's a lot of people. It is upon the driver. It is the driver's responsibility to be interesting. You know, as me in my part-time occasional position as a track announcer, you know, I could try to hit you with a tough question or something, but in the end, it's on you. Are you boring? You know if you're boring or not. Don't be boring. Do something interesting. Say something. I want to shake somebody, you know, grab them by the lapel. Shake them! Everybody saw Bull Durham, right? You saw Bull Durham, and the guy doesn't know Nuke needs to figure out how to get to the major leagues. And Kevin Costner is explaining to him the cliches that you say when dealing with the media. Stay away from those. I'm here to help the team. Just trying to help out my guys. Well, that's great. In the baseball world where you're fighting off beat writers, 162 games, maybe you want to give them something boring because you don't want to cause problems. At the same time, in drag racing, where our whole lives, we have grown up with this sport because it is extreme, because it is outlandish. We got a guy named the Mongoose, his claws, and there's this snake, and Big Daddy, and Hellfire. Well, something needs to happen. Five, if we're even on five. The variety of the cars. Variety of the cars. Caller called in. He nailed it. There's a truck. There's an El Camino. There's a Monza. There's a Le Mans. There's a Nova. There's a bunch of Novas. But that's like real life. There's Novas everywhere. That's genuine. The situation is that you've got Camaro. You've got Dodge Dart. Got Pontiac GXP, I believe it's like six models, some Mustangs out there in Pro Stock. In Funny Car, you've got a spec body, you've got a Camry, you've got a Charger, you've got a Camaro, and you've got a Mustang. And they're spec. And a top fuel, all top fuel cars look the same. If you are interested in cars, and Warren Johnson was on just a couple weeks ago. It's in the archive. If you're interested in cars, You root for cars, maybe not the person, but the car, the brand, the manufacturer, the body style. There's a lot of El Camino fans out there. People, I don't get them. I don't understand where they're coming from on this El Camino. But there are El Camino fans out there. They got something to root for. Hey, look at this guy with the crazy El Camino. You don't have that anymore. You don't have that. That's a challenge. Because professional racing has become more and more spec. Pro Mod, they have got the variety. Are they popular? Yes. And finally, if you're an NHRA pro, you're one of the pros out there. I touched on it earlier. I'm going to make a drive it home. Here it comes. Sledgehammer. Your sponsor is paying for you to mention their name. By mentioning their name, you're exhausting the audience, and chances are making them less likely to support the sponsor. And just because the marketing experts in the boardrooms are saying something doesn't mean that it's right. Because what you don't know and what they don't know is the guy in front of you and in front of him and in front of her and in front of her said the exact same thing that you're about to say about their sponsor. And it all just is blurring. The eyes are rolling back into the back of the head of the person who is looking for something of interest. We're all just cold and alone in the world looking for something of interest to entertain us for a few minutes. And when you flip on the drag racing, you already know. You'll be the racers are the first to tell you, you're not getting the sound and you're not getting the feeling, the shake. You're missing out on 90%. Talk to a drag racer. The first thing they'll tell you is, you're watching on TV. You're missing out on 90%. So at the end of it, the drivers are going to, what? They're going to be boring too? Well, my sponsor won't let me. Well, maybe you haven't made a compelling case to your sponsor. Maybe you haven't told your sponsor, listen, this is what I want to do. I want to be who I am. I want to get aggressive. And, you know, you're going to get some negative emails. There are going to be people who don't like what I have to say. But that's a good thing. And you might lose their business. But just the same, you're going to get double the business from the people who like what I have to say. And, of course, you use judgment. Of course, you have to use judgment. You don't talk about someone's family. Like, you know, their family is terrible. And I think that they're horrible people. That is over the line. So, here we are at the end of another WFO radio. And I'm putting it out there on the table. Because I am investing my life at this point. And a lot of work from people behind the scenes, Giovanni in Miami and our great friend Carlos Hockenstuff and Patrick the Webmaster. A lot of hours of work and time go into producing this show and what we're doing. And we want to make sure we are in a viable place to carve out our futures. This is not something that just happens because it happens because we love it so much and we want to. We're all working hard here. This is work. We want to make sure the product is viable and people are interested and people love it. And is everybody doing everything they could be doing to make sure it is as good as it could possibly be? What's the answer? So we'll see where this goes. I'm excited. We'll see where it goes. Every time I show up to a racetrack, I am excited. Every time I meet racers, I am impressed. On this show, Drew Skillman, come on, kid knocked the ball out of the park. He's a shy guy. He says, I'm kind of shy. Not right here, he wasn't. Well, what does that tell you? What's the story then? Because he was not at the track. He had some time to relax. He knew what he was getting into. He's heard the show. He knows what I'm capable of, which is anything at any time. All right, now we've gone too far. Thanks to everybody for listening. You folks listening to my rants here at the tail end of the program. The Race Day Nation app, this is new. It's kind of a cool thing. Rob D'Amico from Fox Sports Radio and Race Day, does a lot of NASCAR stuff, radio guy, put together the app, invited MRN, Motor Racing Network, PRN, the Performance Racing Network, they cover a lot of NASCAR races, and WFO Radio and some other shows. They're all together. I appreciate that, and it speaks volumes about what we're trying to do. We are different than they are, though. because they are large multi-million dollar corporate entities. We are not. Formatics, time, length, all of those things, very different when you listen to WFO radio. Our ignition show, great stuff. We're going to talk about Atlanta, Jimmy Johnson, all of that. We try to have fun, and the passion is unrivaled. We're out here doing everything for the right reasons. Now, are toes going to get stepped on? Are people going to be bothered? Are people going to, you know, who knows? I don't know. The idea of losing your job because a fan called in and said to your sponsor that he didn't like the way you commented in a top-end interview, and now your sponsor is saying, we don't want to sponsor you because we're putting out $200,000 into your racing program, and you got somebody angry, and now you're without a job and you're on the sideline. That's a very real possibility. But if you're completely boring and nobody is interested, then your sponsor's just going to drop you a year later anyway. Going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. Success leaves tracks. You know who came up with that? Larry from Spiegel & Utrera, PA. Free legal advice fast. It's on the front page of the WFO radio website. 30-day free membership. You should check it out. Of course, Marvin Rodak, Rodak's Coffee, Frank Hawley, everybody that supports WFO radio along the way. Support them. And get a t-shirt. That's really the best thing you can do right at this moment, I think. All right, that's going to do it. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes. Thanks for listening to my little rant here at the tail end of the show. Oh, I got a lot. There's always frustration and anger. Very rarely do I get to vent. Today, I think, is because I had 6 cups of Rodak's coffee. There it is. And the Ignition show this week. It's just going to be awesome. Hopefully you'll join us. Good luck to Carly Jo Ellingson. Get on there and vote for her. Vote, vote, vote. Tina Stahl, the Twitter deal. Learn to use it. It is a useful tool. You will benefit. Use your judgment. This is the second time she's been on. The previous is in the archive. Poe, loved talking to Danny. That is a great family. Of course, I appreciate them running our stickers. But more importantly, I feel one step closer to knowing how to tune one of these cars and all that goes into it. And Drew Skillman was outrageous. Alan Reinhart, come on. He leads off the show. Can you guys say more? And he's got a truck for sale. Who wants it? Notice he didn't mention the price. Very savvy. Make an offer. All right, that's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.